Proper Sport at 6. You won't miss a minute, whether they matter or not.
Fire it, he's going to dummy, he's going to
yes!
win!
Yes! Curry's over the line. No, he isn't. He's lost the ball.
It's off.
He's off.
He's
off.
He's gone.
Go on, Johnson.
Go on, Johnson.
This is the home of full match commentary. This is Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire.
You wouldn't believe that before this programme even starts. And I know you're all way. I'm supposed to like do an intro and everything. Last week, P's overtook proceedings, and they won't today, but that's all we've been talking about before the programme, in which we will be discussing the Super League semi-finals as Castleford, and everyone wants them to lose, take on St Helens and Leeds, meet Hull at the three-sided Headingley Stadium on Friday night. We'll talk about the qualifiers, and are the Catalan Dragons a disgrace to the, whatever the French is for red and yellow flag. Well, I guess the Spanish, or... Well, sorry, go on, Phil.
Sang et or. Blood and gold.
Blood and gold. Blood and sand, more like their performances recently. We'll talk about the Championship Shield final. Excitement, because Toulouse will host Sheffield on Saturday afternoon. Sadly, not on television. There's also the small matter of promotion to the Championship as Barrow hosts Whitehaven. After Whitehaven beat York in goal the point extra time that not even their social media knew existed. And much, much more besides, including Wigan and their demise. It's all to come here on Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire.
If it's good, we'll tell you. If it's rubbish, we'll tell you. This is Radio Yorkshire, the only place for honest opinions on the greatest game.
Indeed it is, as we are every Monday between 6 and 8. Now Mark Wilson today, he'll be back with us next week ahead of the grand final. But our semi-final band of panellists include Rugby League Hall of Famer Gary Schofield.
How are you, Rich? Okay?
I'm okay, how are you?
Yeah, very well, very well, yes. And also as well, just, as I say, since being in the League Express today, so you're absolutely delighted where I'm going to be the representative for England in the World Cup. I fly out to Australia Wednesday, and I say, taking some supporters out there. The great company Glory Days, there's going to be plenty of supporters, but I've been asked to be the flag bearer, the flag waver for England at the opening ceremony in Melbourne, which I'm absolutely delighted and honoured, Richie and Phil too. As I say, I played in the World Cup final for Great Britain, captain Great Britain in 1992 World
you're
Cup.
So wear that tracksuit.
So now...
Wear that tracksuit top that you walked out in at Wembley.
It might not fit,
92,000 people.
Before you say it might not fit, Phil, but
I didn't say.
Yeah, absolutely proud and honoured to be given this honour, and I can't wait for it. Can't wait.
Congratulations. It's a fabulous honour.
Thanks very much.
And I think the other thing that's important is it shows that the World Cup are taking seriously the history and heritage of the competition, that the calibre of people that are being the flag bearers, they're making it a proper occasion. I suspect you should probably have your England kit on underneath just in case there's an issue during that game. Thurston's not playing. Sit yourself on the bench next to your big pal Wayne. Put yourself on after about 25 minutes.
I don't think Wayne will get me off to 25. It might be about 75, to be honest with you, but then the game might have gone, Phil. The game might be gone, so I'm going to change it. But no, I have to say, absolutely proud of that honour as well. And I'll tell you what, when I told my two children in Danielle and Jonathan, that they were saying, are you kidding, Dad, aren't you? You know, and obviously they see the flag bearers at the Olympics when they come out from there, and they said, oh, that's great for you. You know, and they were very proud as well of the dad being asked for that. So, yeah, I were delighted for them as well, to be honest.
Representing Britain abroad, just like Boris Johnson there.
However...
It's a bit arse, Rich. What, I'm Boris Johnson? Do me a favour. Do me a favour.
I must say that when Scott Gricks had a little faux pas towards the end of the game against St Helens, you said Wakefield wouldn't win another game this season. They did all right on Saturday.
They did indeed. And one thing for sure, the great thing about it was the way Wakefield had been playing this season, and the 32-0 result, if you went and watched that game and you saw the result 32-0, you'd have thought, I tell you what, Wakefield must have played well. Wakefield must have been absolutely outstanding. What, to beat Wigan 32-0?
It was like watching the team of the 60s, I understand.
Well, do you know what, Phil? Do you know what, Rich? The fact of the matter is, Wakefield didn't have to get out of second gear. Because quite simply, Wigan, they knew what had happened. Said Tellens did him no favours. People are saying Castleford didn't do him no favours, but we'll tell you what, Dalopal can do whatever he likes. And they say Hull beat Cass from there to knock Wigan out of the top four. And the performance on Wigan, take nothing away from Wakefield, but they didn't have to get out of second gear. They played very well, But Wigan, they were just literally sulking and sulking and sulking, weren't they? They were like big babies. They didn't want to be there. They didn't want to be at Bellevue on Saturday. They knew exactly what happened from there, and they were just sulking.
So how do Wigan change it? I mean, I know this isn't Radio Wigan, but...
I should say, though, Kev has tweeted in saying, can we have 2 hours of Let's All Laugh at Wigan? We're not going to do that, Kev. Well, we've got the news and adverts to play as well.
I think the fact that they finished sixth, they would say, is not acceptable.
Well, it's not acceptable, is it, for a club like Wigan?
The fact that they capitulated in the last game when they could have finished fifth is very un-Wigan-like.
Correct.
But how do you change it? Is it the way that they play and the philosophy that they play under? In which case... Under a salary cap sport, how do you get rid of half of the team and bring in players who play differently? Is it the coach? Do people now point the finger at Sean Wayne, as they inevitably will, and I'm not sure that necessarily he is the sole reason for their finishing sixth, and he will quite rightly point out they won the World Club Challenge, that they got to the final of the Challenge Cup final, and they had put up with a lot of injuries this season, given a lot of young kids' debuts. But what in the short term can Wigan do to play in a different way to the way that they've been playing for the last 3 or 4 years, which now seems to have been overtaken?
Well, the big problem for Wigan is that they won't change the philosophy. You know, Sean won't change it the way that he wants to coach, the way that he prepares for a team from there. And one thing what Wigan are, they are driven by winning silverware. That is their motivation. That's how they keep coaches from there. So we're not saying at this moment in time that Sean, you know, maybe it's time for him to move on. One thing for sure, players do get fed up of the same voice. They get fed up of the same face, saying the same thing day in, day out. Can they change the philosophy? Not with Sean in charge, they will not.
I thought it was interesting that the first thing he said when he was interviewed afterwards, having obviously expressed his disappointment, was that we're just going to work harder in prison. Sometimes it's not about working harder.
Absolutely.
I can't imagine anybody works harder than that Wigan squad. But it's working smarter.
Correct. I was just going to use that exact word myself, though, because when you look at certainly Wigan's best player in George Williams, George Williams for the first 10, 12 games throughout this season was pretty good. He was up there, you would say, as you know, the form player in the running for the Man of Steel. But since then, he's been very, very average. And there's no smile on his face. He doesn't seem to be enjoying the role, what he's asked to play. He hasn't been given any help from Thomas Lulawai. You know, I'm quicker than him at my age. You know, he's brought nothing to Wigan. He's brought nothing to Wigan whatsoever from there.
But he's going on the coaching stuff. So
But also as well, what I'm going to say from there, from Wigan, is the way they are playing at this moment in time and the way teams are changing, we know Casford have changed, Wakeford are playing a tactic, Salford have played from there. Teams are going to change the style of play from there. They're not going to copy what Wigan did. And, you know, we all know playing that block. They're not. If Wigan don't change their style of play, they're going to get left behind.
Are Wigan suffering from having lost people like Paul Deakin and Yestin Harris on the coaching staff, who at least had a focus on
the attack?
Back play.
Maybe, yeah, that maybe could be one of the answers, but still, I would imagine that Sean would have been listening to his assistant coaches and realising, when they do move the ball, they're very good.
But they do that under desperation.
Correct, they don't do enough of it. You know, against Casper, they were 20-0 down at our time, the game had gone, and then when they decide to move the ball, when, you know, Sean's fallen out with me over 12 months ago now for saying, and I'll repeat again, when they played Warrington last year, they went plan A, plan A, plan A, and it wasn't working. For the last 16 minutes, what did they do?
They did it at Wembley.
Correct.
Against Hull.
What did they do? They went bang, 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 4 brilliant tries, letting the ball do the work, and they were great to watch. They just don't do it enough.
There's another issue that they've got on the horizon, and no doubt we'll talk about the dream team and who's been left out and who deserved to be in it, but there's not too much longer for Sean O'Loughlin at Wigan, who's had a most fantastic, distinguished career. The stat seems to be 77% of the time that he plays, they win. Most of the time he doesn't, they lose. There's a report today that Toronto might be looking at him to finish his career over there with everything that he can bring to that team. What do Wigan do when not only is their style of play being deemed to be overtaken, but their talisman is no longer playing for them?
Well, I would imagine when Sean O'Loughlin decides to leave Wigan, I would imagine Sean will decide him saying it may be time to go then, because he's losing his talisman. When you hear Locker speak about Sean, the respect what they both have for each other, you know, and I would imagine if when Loughlin calls it a day at Wigan, I would imagine Sean may go as well, to be honest. I do.
I want to tell the listeners, oh, by the way, Tom Maguire's in the studio.
Hello. We haven't introduced him yet. How are you doing?
He's looking after social media today.
He's you.
I know.
He's doing my job today.
I've been told I look a little bit. I've been told sometimes with my beard I look a little bit like a minier version of you. But yeah, usually I'm editing Last Tackle around this point, but drafted in today. But I like the idea of being a late sub.
I can tell people that we have a pair of tickets to give away for the grand final.
Very good.
Which, of course, is on the 7th of October at Old Trafford. We're all looking forward to it. Who will be there? You could be. All you have to do is tweet with @RLNRY in the tweet so people can see it. Because then we think, look, you're doing advertising for us. Or share the page, share the video on Facebook. You've got until Wednesday night to do it. We'll announce the winner on Thursday. So say midnight at Wednesday. If you've not done it by then, you have to buy tickets yourself. But you could be seeing Cass versus Hull versus Lee versus St Helens. Two of those teams, we promise, will be in the Super League Grand Final.
On Wigan. And their performance...
They're not there. They won't be there. You won't see them.
On Saturday, because we want to talk about the people that will be there. There is a lot of social media traffic at the moment with the disciplinary having been announced. Mm-hmm. That a certain Wigan player... Mm. Who may have abused the referee over his open microphone...
The man of the match in last year's grand final.
...has not been cited. Is this another example of the slippery slope of disrespect towards match officials?
You never swatted a referee, did you, Scurry? Not on Mike.
May have said some...
As long as you put sir at the end of the sentence,
absolutely. But no, he tried, and as we know nowadays, and certainly that, he's just not good enough.
He sets a terrible example. If you allow players, however senior they are, to speak to match officials like that, what does that do for the image of the sport, and particularly for younger players who see it and it's deemed to be acceptable? I have to say that I was privileged on Saturday afternoon to be at Batley for the Yorkshire Men's League Premier Division Grand Final between Siddle Academy and Beverley Braves, coached by none other than Scott Taylor, who had played the night before and was still on the touchline urging his team on. Absolute brilliant sportsmanship between the two teams. There were some vociferous fans there supporting their teams. They were great. The players afterwards, the defeated ones, were incredibly magnanimous and polite. The winners... were gracious in their victory. It was an absolute privilege to be there. The rugby played was superb. Siddle won 30-12. I think all five of their tries came from wingers. Certainly the man of the match was one of the wingers who scored a hat-trick. What we don't want is that great event sullied by the fact that people think it's acceptable to swear at referees.
Well, it's not acceptable, is it?
On national television.
No, it's not.
And it clearly isn't.
Why is it not being cited then? What's the excuse why he's not been brought before the disciplinary? Because it just opens doors, doesn't it? It just opens doors and...
Well, all of the audio is heard back at the RFL. And if they... I suggest that the people who have listened to that, if they think that's acceptable, then they've got the wrong image of rugby league.
I agree.
A fairly disappointing end to the season then for Wigan. Sixth, they finished 31 points.
Do you know what as well, Rich? Do you know what as well? I'm not hearing too many people saying, oh, it's not going to be the same without Wigan.
Like,
it's not going to be the same without...
People that like Wigan,
you know, people, you know, to be honest with you, people who aren't speaking to from all sorts of different clubs, all different, parts of the rugby league world, you know, they're pretty happy Wigan out in it.
Is that because of the style of play? I think the other issue that Wigan have got is the announcement last week of a £600,000 loss in the season which they won the grand final. And they say that there's some extenuating circumstances, that commercial partners moved away and new ones have come in that are going to fill that gap. But I think it's also to do with the fact that Wigan fans are not going in greater number to watch their team, even though they're successful, because they're not happy with the style of rugby that they
Well, when I was there, when they played Leeds A team, and I was there as an invited guest, and so I wasn't doing my media role there, so I will look at it in a different perspective. And again, talking to all the Wigan fans, and Wigan beat us that night, was it 34-36? Not impressive, one little bit, but all the talk was, from the Wigan fans, was quite simple. We don't like the way we're playing. Mm-hmm. We don't like the way we're playing. And I know, listen, I've known Sean since we've been 12. We've known each other since we were 12, and we've known each other up to this present day from there. And Sean will know what people are saying. You know, so there's only him who could decide if he wants to change a little bit the philosophy from there, or, as we said, we've heard the comment, we'll work harder, we'll work harder, we'll work harder. But as you called it, Phil Kaplan, he's got to be smarter with what he does. And if not, Wigan are going to get left behind.
And
How
is he going to change it? It's not like they've signed Ben Barber, who is going to change the way they play. They're one of the few clubs that have spent two lots of marquee money. Mm. One to keep George Williams, one to bring back Sam Tompkins. That's not going to change the way they play. They need five or six different players that work in a different way. I don't know how you go out and buy five or six players.
Well, it's an interesting one as well.
It'd be interesting to see who they would release to let those five or six players in.
He's going to go into the market, you know, to buy players, but what sort of calibre of players is he looking at? You know, it's an interesting one. Very, very interesting.
Have you seen Big Dave Fifita on the crossbar on Saturday night?
Spider Fifita, yeah.
He decided to celebrate. I don't know how he got up there. I missed this. It must have been while I was in the press conference room waiting for Chris Chester, who never appeared. So we went out onto the pitch to find him anyway. But he got up on the crossbar. Big Dave. He's the kind of X Factor player that Wigan could do with. But then Frank Paul Nuasala, probably cheaper as well. We've been pulled up, haven't we, for not giving Wakefield enough credit in that performance.
We haven't got to Wakefield yet.
Well, the last 10-15 minutes of that game did turn into let's get Keegan Hurst a try, which was quite entertaining.
Wakefield did play very, very well. But and what I'm saying is, if you looked at that scoreline and saying, you know, Wakefield 32, Wigan, no, how Wakefield must have been sensational, but Wakefield were very, very good, but they didn't have to be sensational because Wigan were just sulking and sulking and sulking.
From a marketing point of view, I think this is the perfect way to end a season for Wakefield. Yeah. Yes, they've just missed out on the four, but they've overachieved. So to end by winning in such an emphatic manner against a team that is deemed to be one of the big teams, now is a great time to put your season tickets on sale. Mm. And I feel for clubs like Featherstone, and no doubt we'll talk about whether the eight really has worked, who see their team lose 68-0 against Warrington and then say, please come and support us again next season. The gulf is huge when you've suffered a defeat like that. For Wakefield, it's the exact reverse.
I tell you what, though, there was plenty of Featherstone fans at Halifax yesterday.
Yeah.
Plenty.
That was the big game, wasn't it? That was the £50,000 game.
Yeah, there were plenty of Featherstone fans.
But they don't need to play
there.
Warrington and be heavily beaten.
Well, it is what it is,
because it shows them where they are in the pecking order. Well, and then you go, give us £150 for a season.
The Featherstone fans, and I know the chairman himself, Mike Campbell, he would admit, I'll tell you what, off the field, Featherstone, all right, they can handle Super League off the field. They've got a lovely stadium. They've got some great marketing people there and who work on sales. Say Mark does a great job from there. And Mark will tell himself, and so would the Halifax chairman. You know, and London would admit, no, they're not good enough for Super League on the field, week in and week out. But we all know the competition, what it is. It is what it is. And as I say, yesterday, Halifax and Featherstone really enjoyed it. A great atmosphere. Yeah, plenty on it. £50,000 is worth a hell of a lot of money to both them sides from there. But as I say, the Featherstone fans, yeah, okay, against Warrington, I guess the golfing class would tell you.
Absolutely.
But they know where they are. The Featherstone fans, and I say the chairman himself knows exactly where Featherstone are from there. And I know what the ambition for Featherstone next year is, to finish in the top two, to make sure they get four home games, which is more revenue for them. So that's their incentive, Phil. Does that make sense?
Yes. You know, I just think it's hard to sell a season ticket on the back of knowing you're going to win the majority of your games. You're then going to hopefully try and get into the top four. It'd be hard for them next year with Toronto in that division and a Super League team coming down to break into the top two. But it's very hard to market in these days if you're coming off a big defeat, whereas the opposite is true for Wakefield. They've had almost a celebration in their last game of the season.
Featherstone have to beat Halifax yesterday and got themselves an extra 50k.
That wasn't their last home game, it was their last away game.
Oh, you're talking about the home game, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's just hard to market yourself.
Right. Well, I would imagine if the season tickets go on sale this week at Featherstone, after what I saw yesterday from the Featherstone fans, they'll be buying them, Phil. They will be buying them. But you were talking about Wakefield. Yeah, we all know what happened the last 90 seconds against St Helens. We all know what happened with a drop kick against Hull. But if you would say to any Wakefield fan, and certainly to the coaching staff of Michael Carter, they will tell you top six was our goal. They've got there from there. And let me just say this as well, and this is going to upset Wakefield fans here, but one thing for sure here now, the way Chris Chester plays the game, because he has a smile on his face, the players reacting brilliantly.
Just get yourself sat down, Wakefield fans. I know what he's going to say now.
The smile on the face of all the players playing for Chris Chester. Do you know what? When McDermott decides to leave Leeds, when him and Gary decide whether it's this year, next year, 2 years, 3 years' time, do you know the replacement for Leeds, the ideal replacement for Leeds?
Jonathan Ford.
The next coach for Leeds, it's quite simple for me. Plays the game the right way, gets the best out of his players, they will play with a smile on his face. The next coach for Leeds is Chris Chester. It's as simple as that.
Scully, I want to ask you, do you think that Brian McDermott chooses and will choose when he decides to leave?
Yeah, I do.
Why do you think that, then?
Well, he has a rolling contract, you know, and I think the respect between Brian and Gary Emmington is there. It's there for all to see. If he was going to get shoved, he would have been last year, wouldn't he, after that disaster and all the excuses
like,
that came
like
out.
Like Warrington.
Exactly, you know, so it will be decided, and it will be Macca, I would imagine, they'll say to Gary, hey, listen, I think I have taken him as far as what I can do now, and it will be his call from there. Yeah, no doubt, Gary, well, he made it when Leeds got hammered by Cass, but that was a turning point of the season. The Leeds players themselves took on the responsibility where they thought, hey, listen, we've got to start growing some crystals here now. We've got to stop sulking. Forget about what happened in 2016. That Cassford result in the season, and when Macca said, you know, I wouldn't have expected my under-19 side to concede that amount of points. The players took responsibility on, they stopped sulking, and that's why they've deserved to finish in second spot. But when Macca decides, enough's enough for Edinley, the replacement for Leeds is quite simple. Plays the game the right way, has a smile on his face. Sorry, Wakefield fans, Chris Chester, he's coming to Leeds.
Maybe by that point, Jamie Peacock will be the director of rugby at Leeds and he won't employ him.
Oh, well, I'm hoping it's Kevin Sinfield, so you never know.
He's too busy with these 2 days a week at the RFL. 3,000, by the way, that's the target set by Michael Carter for season ticket sales at whatever Bellevue is called.
Oh, listen, surely.
The final season. the last
come
stand.
On. Hey, listen, you
just wait till they knock it all
you
down.
You Wakefield fans, listen, I'm not a member of the Wakefield employees from there, and I'm not the marketing manager, I'm not the promotion manager, but oh, come on, boy, oh boy, what Michael Carter's doing, what Chris Chester, what the players are doing, surely they can easily get up to 3,000 season tickets, can't they? Come on, they're entertaining. They're good to watch. Get behind the boys.
Yeah, but they're not 100 quid and, you know, there's no, you know, there's actual financial planning at the club these days, so what can you do?
Are you buying one?
Well, I'm here, aren't I? I work. I can't get into any of the games.
All right, OK.
Interesting that Sam Williams has announced that he's leaving.
Yes.
I don't know if anything has come out from the club officially yet, but
sure,
he's certainly said goodbye.
When I spoke to him on the pitch on Saturday, I asked, you know, have you enjoyed your time? Yeah, it's just
Where's he going?
He's going back to Canberra, I think. Yeah. But I don't know if he's going back to the Raiders.
Because also, as well, I don't know if Michael's listening, but I was hearing yesterday that Keegan Hurst hasn't signed a contract. If Michael's listening, that's Keegan Hurst, because I tell you, Keegan Hurst has been sensational the second part of the season. Him and Ante England starting out for the first 20, 25 minutes, going into contact, defensively, very, very aggressive, very purposeful running. And he's been outstanding for me
as
Keegan Hurst.
It's a huge credit to Keegan himself that at the age of 29, he's taken that step up.
Yeah, but Phil, they start peaking front rowers nowadays at 31, 32.
Yeah, we quite rightly look at Chris Hill and Alex Walmsley, who've been the real successes as props who played in the Championship, but they've been about 23 when they've moved to the top level. To do it at 29 and have the impact that he's had, I think that says a lot about Keegan himself.
I guess the problem for Sam Williams was he didn't hit the ground running at the start of the season. They went back to Miller and Finn. Wood was impressive at hooker.
And they've signed Tyler Randall.
And there was no space for him in the squad. And I think it's one of those, we're sorry to see you go, but it just didn't work out. It wasn't a bad signing.
No,
it just hasn't.
And I think he did help take the pressure off the halfbacks when necessary. His kicking game was good. Still think there's, I think even Chris Chester may have mentioned it on Saturday, there's one overseas prop that they're looking at to complete the squad, along with Justin Horrow, who's now been announced.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm just going to say, I'm surprised at that Horrow. What is he going to bring?
He's been a better player at Manly than he's shown at Catalan.
Might be the environment might be better for him in Wakefield than the south of France.
All right,
yeah. He has some pedigree when he played for Manly.
Right, so
he hasn't shown it necessarily.
So it's like the rest of the pathetic Catalan players, the pathetic German Catalans are. Yeah, he's just really saying, oh, well, I've just come here for a holiday. That's no good. That's not good enough. He's a professional sportsman.
That's not quite what I said, but...
Yeah. Well, he's not... Well, when I heard of the sign, I thought to myself, what's he going to bring to Wakefield? And do you know what? It makes me laugh at times and say, oh, they've played 120 odd times in NRL. Oh, they've got loads of NRL experience. So what? So what? The journeyman, most of them. You ask the chairman now, the Catalans. Eh?
Toronto are going down the same route now, aren't they? Eh? With the Coltrane and all this, that and the other. It's all going to be good. Yeah. Loads of social media. Yes. We've been ignoring it. Tom, what's going on?
Well, everyone's wanting to know, obviously, about the £1 million game and people asking about what your thoughts of Catalans are. If Catalans lose on Saturday and if they go down, will the Catalan Dragons go out of business and will that hurry up any restructure from the RFL?
Well, Phil will go on the more diplomatic side when certainly about the business side, but for me with the Catalans, they're getting battered against Lee on Saturday. Lee will absolutely batter the Catalans because Lee have been preparing this now for the last two or three weeks. They have known that in the £1 million game, the only thing they haven't known is, was it going to be at home or was it going to be away? But it's at the Sports Village. The Sports Village will be absolutely rocking. Them Catalans players, as I have said now for the last few weeks, they are an absolute disgrace to that Catalans jersey. Two-thirds of them, or maybe half of them at least, they're leaving. They could care less about that club. They could care less if they're in the Championship next year. They won't be putting the body on the line for that club on Saturday. They will get absolutely battered by Lee, and they are going to the Championship. Simple as that.
Phil?
I think on the field, that seems the most likely outcome. And the late tackle by Stephen Marsh for Widnes that meant that they won and stayed up summed up the difference between the two teams, that it was him refusing to give in and chasing a much faster man and putting him into touch that was everything that Catalan aren't at the moment.
What are Catalans?
Their last tackle plays were as bad as I've seen this season. But there is a different argument about what do we want Super League to look like in the future? And how will the Championship work next year for part-time teams to have to face Toulouse, Catalan and Toronto, add in London and a Cumbrian team in either Barrow or Whitehaven? And I spoke to the chief executive of a semi-professional Championship team this weekend, who said that there are two issues. One is the pure logistics of getting to these places, and teams going out to Toulouse have even had to send the players on two split flights because at short notice it's very hard to get them to even all to travel together. But the problem he said he had more than any other was continually going to part-time players and asking them to take time off work to play rugby league. And they can't afford to... they're not paid enough within rugby league to be able to take all of their working holiday to subsidise their pastime. And there is a real issue that next year the Championship could be unworkable. Now, if that is going to be the case, and if we are going to move towards something like licensing in 2019, which
seems... We can't go to licensing, Phil. We can't.
We already have. We effectively have. With the split we've got between the full-time sport and the part-time sport, economics dictates where you sit in this sport at
right,
the moment.
If Catalans go down, will they survive?
Nobody knows. I suspect that the tourist authority that has backed them will not put as much money in because there won't be as many fans coming over in the Championship. I think that one or two of the businesses that are happy to be associated with crowds of 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 will want to pay significantly less, if at all, if the crowds are down to 3,500, 4,000, 5,000. I don't know what Bernard Gouache's stomach is like for a fight in the Championship. And what we don't know is what is going to happen in 2019. Because let's assume Bradford are in League One in 2018, which even Bradford don't seem to think that they are. Let's assume that Catalan are in the Championship next year because on field that's where they deserve to be. But in 2019 we're going to change it all. What does that mean for the 2018 season? If Bernard Gouache knows that they're going to get a franchise in 2019, they're going to be back in Super League, why does he even need to invest in the team in 2018? It seems to me that we're at that point where somebody has to be open and honest about what we're trying to achieve. Have we seen genuine promotion on the field? in all the time that we've had the eights, or has it been determined by economics?
Do you think also as well for Catalans as well then, because yeah, they will get battered on Saturday, will the chairman himself burn into realise and say, listen, I'm not signing no more journeyman, I'm not signing any more?
Well, he needs to take responsibility.
Who can't care less about this club.
He needs to take responsibility for their recruitment.
Absolutely.
Which over the past two or three years has been poor. That he's bought in the supposed big names who haven't delivered, and he's allowed a lot of very good young French players to leave.
Yeah.
And one of the ideas of having Catalan in Super League was it was also going to improve the French national team. Well, you know, look at Theo Farge and Gadwin Springer and Kevin Leroy and various other players who've gone and now played at other Super League teams. They've proved they can play at that level, but they're not playing for Catalan, which seems ridiculous. So I think they have to take personal responsibility for their recruitment.
Also as well, the it always seems to work, doesn't it, when a new coach come in. Boy, oh boy, it's been the opposite with McNamara going to France, hasn't it?
Again, logic would say, go back to Wakefield when they were in the £1 million game with Castleford, when they bought John Keir in for six games. John didn't change much other than he gave them the belief that they could win enough of those games to get out of it. You get the impression, looking at, listening to and taking soundings of Steve McNamara, that he doesn't work that way.
Right, well, let me just come in there then. When John Keir took over Wakefield, he had genuine rugby league players who wanted and desired to play for Wakefield.
But he also,
he's got journeymen there who couldn't care less. Does that make sense?
I think the other thing about comparing the two is that the players that John Keir inherited had lost all their confidence. So whether they were good players or not, most of that season they'd been in a losing team. But he managed to find an ingredient that gave them their confidence back when it really mattered and they won enough of the remaining games. I think he treated it like a cup run, didn't he? He said, you know, if you need to win six games to win the Challenge Cup. That's exactly how we're going to
approach. Well, John Keir's finished at Wakefield for this season. Maybe Burnley will get in contact with him for 18 minutes a game in that dressing room on Saturday.
I just don't know if Steve McNamara is that kind of a coach. He's a very technical coach. He will have been able to outline to every one of his players all the things they did wrong. But maybe just for this eight competition, whether you have to win, it doesn't matter how you win. You just need to give them a geo.
But you know what, Phil, right? In sport nowadays, what makes me laugh, and to be honest with you, at times, I get fed up with it when they keep going on about analysing and technique. Listen, sometimes, at times, it comes down to who wants it the most.
Absolutely.
Who's got the most desire? Who's got the enthusiasm to say, hey, listen, I'm going to have a go today. I'm going to make sure, because this is a philosophy that I took from my own man. You know, it's quite simple. Mm-hmm. I couldn't care less how good you are. I'm going to show you how good we are for 80 minutes. That's the sort of passion what they're going to need on Catalan. Never mind the technical rubbish and whatever.
But
it's all about the commitment and the desire and the passion.
I'm not sure that's what they've been sold. I think you're exactly right that's what they need. Even if it needed getting somebody, let's say, like a Justin Morgan type figure in for a small number of games.
Let me in that dressing room and I'll tell them how useless they are.
That might be what it needs.
And go out there and prove yourself what a quality rugby league player you are. Not as an individual, but go out there as a team collectively.
They're playing.
I'll go there on Saturday and tell them.
They are playing without confidence, without belief, without a plan. And I'm sure in training, some of that is there, but the pressure of the situation that they're in is bringing the worst out of them rather than the best.
Yeah, but Phil...
I'm not blaming Steve McNamara for that. I just think it was the wrong coach to bring in at that time.
The players themselves who've got themselves in this position.
If they wanted Steve McNamara as their coach, he needed a full pre-season with his team and he needed to choose some of the players he wanted to play.
Phil, it's coming at the time when it's dire. When it's dire for the Catalans.
They should have bought in somebody for the qualifiers alone and said, your job is to make sure we don't get relegated.
Mm.
Great irony, of course, of that 2006 unofficial £1 million game where Wakefield fans are still asking where that £1 million went. Is that the team who finished bottom of Super League in 2006 were?
Catalan. In their first season with a ring fence to make sure that they could grow their business, which is supposedly the reason for franchise.
I'll tell you what as well, you know, on that game on Saturday, the £1 million game, isn't there going to be some pressure on the referee? Because we all know the dire straits, if Catalans do go down, and I'm saying they are going down, Lee are going to batter them, boy oh boy. I'm not saying there'll be a conspiracy by the referee, but I would imagine if there's any 50-50 calls or 55-45 calls, Be interesting where they go. Be interesting where they go.
The other thing I don't understand is Catalan's home games are all round about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So there is a television slot over here at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday. If we played this game at round about 5 o'clock, with all the jeopardy that is involved and all the drama and all the fingernails scraping down the blackboard, I'm sure we'd get a big audience. But if you play it at 3 o'clock, which is the time it's going to kick off, how on earth do you compete with Premiership football?
The answer is you can't. More on... Don't forget, by the way, pair of tickets to give away for the grand final. Just have to tweet us before midnight on Wednesday.
By the way, who do you think will win, Phil? Lee or Catalans? Who are you going for?
Until I saw Catalans' abject performance this week, I thought they would win at home to Widnes, and they would be safe. But the fact that they have now lost and have to come to Lee, I can't see them winning.
I tell you what, I hope the Widnes fans are delighted with a legend, because I tipped you to beat Catalans at the weekend.
Well, someone said on Facebook, thanks for that, Scoey, we're going to lose now, so seems a bit harsh.
I don't think we've got many French listeners.
No, well, bonjour to those that are. Over on social media, thanks so much for everyone getting in touch. Plenty of people asking about the Dream Team. A lot of people asking, should Sean O'Loughlin have been selected? I'm sure we'll come on to the Dream Team properly in a bit. But first, people responding to your calls for Chris Chester.
These are the Wakefield fans whose responses we can read out. That's off topic. Unfortunately, unlike Robert Hicks, we won't take abuse.
Well, Captain Jibbers has got in touch on Twitter saying, hope not. Need Chester to stay at Wakefield and challenge traditional clubs that have hogged the top four spot. Far better for rugby league.
Right, listen, let me just...
Typical Leeds coming in, stealing everything good from Wakefield.
Back to Stan Smith in 1930.
Let me just elaborate a little bit more. Listen, I'm not saying Chris Chester is going to get the Leeds job after the season finished for Leeds, whether it's this week or next week. What I'm saying is, when Matt Dermott decides to leave Leeds, whether it's his choice or Gary or both the choices from there, whether it's this year, next year or 2 or 3 years' time, the man then to take over Leeds is Chris Chester. I'm not saying it's happening this year, may not happen next year, but when Matt Dermott decides to go, Chris Chester is the man to replace him. That's what I'm saying.
We could have done a swap deal. You could have had Chris Chester, we could have had the South Stand. To solve everyone's problems.
I've got a bigger problem, though, because Lee Tucker's got in touch, and I don't want to rekindle an old flame, but I feel Scoey may do when Lee said, had Cole KR not got rid of Chester and played Albert Kelly in the last three games of the last season, they would have not gone down into the Championship.
Yeah, well, no, if Albert Kelly had played, they would have gone into the Championship.
Yeah.
Well, you've got to see his hair, by the way, listeners. It is superb.
Who's?
Albert Kelly.
I asked him the Dream Team today. Well, he made it sort of... It's not even ginger, it's orange. Yeah. And I asked him, what made you decide that? And he said he was going for the Paul Pogba look. So, do you know Paul Pogba?
Man United footballer, isn't
he? Yeah, yeah, he dyes his hair and stuff. But
So Albert Kelly's dyed his hair orange?
Yeah, and
intentionally.
Well, I basically was talking to him, asking
him
what he thought.
To be green.
And he said, yeah, and he was saying, it didn't really work out.
Well, why don't you just put some more black dye on it or something?
Albert Kelly makes questionable choices. However, on the field this year, he's in the Dream Team. Mm. Well, the Dream Team in front of him, we might as well read it out for you now. It's the Castlewood Tigers squad, everybody. Hardacre, Eden, Shenton, Percival, Fanua, Kelly, Gale, Millington, Parcell, Ikahifo, and Murdoch-Masila, and well done, Ben Murdoch-Masila, who turned up at the Dream Team launch, hung around for about 10 minutes and decided to get back to Salford.
The best thing about it was, as well, he had like
Mabeek and O'Loughlin.
He had basically a drawstring bag, like he'd been in for PE. He just put it back on and went,
off now.
It was good.
I mean, fair play.
He was probably on Mad Monday.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true as well. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
You know, well done, Ben Murdoch-Masila. Because it was supposed to be based on the first 23 rounds of Super League. The waiting was for the first 20. Supposedly, yeah, that's in the instructions. You're not going to vote, Phil?
I just didn't read the instructions.
Yeah, I don't get a vote, why don't I get a vote?
You're not a respected member of the Rugby League. I didn't get a vote. Mark Wilson did. I told him who to pick, and he didn't listen to me.
What do you mean I'm not a respected media pundit?
No Wakefield players in there or anything.
But to be honest with you, when you do look at the Dream Team, I think I went for Alex Worms as one of the props. Who was the other prop?
I'm pleased that Ikahifo is in there, on the basis of the fact that
Why is O'Loughlin in there then, Phil? Because, you know,
Plenty of people are asking that on Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, why is O'Loughlin in? Because you avoid O'Loughlin, didn't you? That looks forward.
I went
Millington looks forward, mate.
You've highlighted the issue with loose forwards. Who actually plays as a genuine out-and-out number 13
these
days?
Yeah, they don't play like the old-fashioned loose
forward. So virtually every team is playing a prop at loose forward.
Well, playing the loose forward as a prop, aren't they?
Yeah.
Again, it's an Australian silly what we copied there, like a Paul Gallen, you know, the copy from there. That, you know,
and that's the issue, isn't it? If you were to pick a genuine guy who wears number 13 and plays as a traditional loose forward, how many are there out there?
Well, Milicent's been playing like a proper loose forward.
I think he got my pick as a loose forward.
Yeah, man, he got my pick as a prop.
He's been picked because he's wearing number 10. But
yeah, he's been picked as prop, hasn't he? But he's been playing at loose forward, hasn't he?
So is it fair to say... I think the other thing is that
when O'Loughlin has played, he has made...
Oh, he's a massive difference.
Wigan into a team that were at least challenging until 2 weeks before. He took them to the Challenge Cup final.
He's a massive player for Wigan.
Played really well in the World Club Challenge.
When O'Loughlin decides, you know, and it's like, you know, with Matt Dermott and the relationship what Macca has with Gary Hamilton and with O'Loughlin and Wayney, I reckon when O'Loughlin decides to call it a day, I reckon Sean will go himself. I do.
But there aren't too many loose forwards. Right. In the true sense of...
Yeah, we don't have them anymore.
You have to pick a team by position.
We don't have them. I'll tell you what, I think you're right.
Matty Ashurst could consider himself...
I was speaking to the first agent about loose forwards, like from our day. And look at Steve Norton, Mick Crane, Mick Adams, Harry Pinner, Dave Irwin. Boy, oh boy, what a quality skillful loose forward they were. What about the quality one Wayford had in Nigel Stevenson? How good were Nigel Stevenson? Sensational. But because I think that is the issue.
That is why Sean O'Loughlin is in there.
We're copying the odds again in Paul Gallen. You know, Paul Gallen plays like a loose forward, but he plays like a prop, so we'll change it.
The other thing that to sort of tell the listeners is we get the chance to vote for three people in each position, and you're given 5, 3, or 1 point.
Mm.
So if you accumulate enough points without actually being the first choice...
Right, I see. Is that how it works?
...every time, you can get in the team.
Yeah.
And I suspect that Sean O'Loughlin featured in everybody's dream team selection, either as a 5, a 3, or a 1,
right,
because there are so few loose forwards. And cumulatively, he will have got that vote.
The three I picked, and I could be wrong on this, were Adam Milner, Grant Millington. So I had two Castlewood players at loose forward, and Stevie Ward.
Yeah, I think I did have Sean O'Loughlin, but I think he was my second choice. And I think the first one was Adam Cuthbertson, on the basis of the fact that he isn't really a loose forward, but he has played at loose forward and he's had a good season.
He's your favourite player, Phil.
He plays as much like an old-fashioned loose forward as some of the names that you've just mentioned, because he's a ball-handling loose forward.
Phil, do me a favour.
He's a ball-handling loose forward.
He's got a class of Mickey Adams, Mick Crane, Steve Norton, David and Harry Pinner. Phil, do us a favour. He's a genuine loose forward. I think in the modern game, he does the role of the modern loose forward.
He's had a great game. In terms of the number of offloads...
How many times did he go to the line and just... A lovely peak to a pass, put him to a real gap. He goes to the figure, just slings it half the time.
Yeah, at least he can get it out. We're going to kill for a player that could get a ball out of the tackle.
He doesn't get the ball out, but he's nowhere near. Did you see some of them balls? Harry Pinion and Dave Allen and Steve Norton and Mick Crane. Do I need to go on? They were only working on the
5 metres, though, not 10.
That just proves how skillful they were with a creativity point of view.
But
playing with that vision and awareness, Philip.
It's very difficult to pick a loose forward.
I agree.
That's the issue. I think Sean O'Loughlin has had a fairly decent season. But
when he's played, he's been Wigan's best player.
Exactly. But there hasn't been a lot of other choice.
So there you go. I don't think we'd argue with Alex Swarms
as one of the props, but apart from that, I can't really make a debate for it.
I think, as we said before, we should also have a suspension there as well.
I think it's also right.
Who would be the coach?
Well, isn't it a 17 man for Leeds?
Who would be the coach of the dream team?
Brian's the coach, he's 16.
Who would be the coach?
Darryl Powell.
There you go then.
It'd have to be, wouldn't it?
Coach of the year. I think it's right that...
Well, there's three candidates for me for the coach of the year. Chris Chester, the next Leeds coach. Lee Radford.
Sean Wayne, coach of the year.
Are you on a fee? Are you trying to like, get some Chris Chester some extra work?
There's only one candidate for coach of the year. You have to reward excellence.
Absolutely.
And he's been magnificent. But I think you don't you judge...
Did he get it last year, Dal? Coach of the year?
No, it was Radders.
Oh, was it Radders who got it last year? Right, okay.
Don't you judge the coach in the truest sense of the word coaching by the improvement in the players that are under him? And how many of the players... Take Paul McShane, take Adam Milner, take Mike McMeekin, take so many of the guys that... Greg Eden. Isn't it because They are better players come the end of the season than they were at the start. Darryl Powell has to be the coach of the year.
Yeah, but when I separate coaching to man management, I think it's more down to Darryl's man management than the same. Because as I keep harping on, if you're a professional rugby league player, if you can't catch pass tackling support, you should be playing the game.
Did you honestly think when Castleford signed Mike McMeekin from London, who had shown some talent, but he wasn't your first choice pick of the best players that were playing at London, that within almost a year, Darryl would have turned him into an England player going to the World Cup?
Well, why not? Because what Darryl would have noticed is quite simple. Right then, Matt Meakin, I know what you can do. You're a wide-running second rower. You come hard, you run straight and hard and direct, you've got a nice pass on you. When you get yourself through the line, then you're allowed to pass the ball. Matt Meakin then would have gone, oh, boy, am I going to enjoy playing for this coach. He's letting me play how I want to play. He's letting me play how I've played all my amateur career. And this is where I've got here now. And now I'm playing Super League, and rather than a coach taking away what I can do, all he wants to do is promote the best of my ability.
I think
and that's what Darryl does.
His ability to see, assess and get the best out
Correct,
of players
absolutely.
Is why he's the coach of the year.
Correct.
Social media.
plenty of people asking, obviously, all about the Dream Team. People asking, should Alex Walmsley been sin-binned or sent off? I think we might probably come on to that in a wee bit. Still plenty of talk about Catalans, but comment I really want to quickly touch on, and then we'll come to some more, is someone's asked her, where did you get your coat from on Friday night, Scotty, because you looked like Darth Vader, apparently.
Oh, I always wear my Crombie. Yeah. Why? I always wear my Crombie. It's nice and fashionable, and it keeps me warm. But yes,
great game between Castleford Alliance and Hull FC.
And I got it from one of my mates at the Cross Green Pub, what used to be there a few years ago. And I got it a little bit cheap.
It's fashionable, but I got it a few years ago.
Let's just say,
how does that work?
Timeless.
Let's just say I got it a little bit cheap.
A couple of shouts as well for
what they
Gareth
did
Ellis.
Was they scraped the words NCB off the back.
Oh. That's a bit harsh. It's not a donkey jacket. It's a Crombie. It says Crombie inside it.
Speaking of which,
yeah, just because it says it, you can go to Hong Kong and get any Lacoste gear you want because they've sewn a crocodile on.
Special treat for Wakefield fans on that topic coming up after the news. Bring that in.
Plenty of people asking as well. Should Gareth Ellis been picked in the Dream Team? Especially obviously
Gareth has been injured for quite a lot of the season, and he's come back and played magnificently. He could be the difference between Hull getting to Old Trafford and not, but I think he's just missed too much of the season to be included.
It's judged from round 1 to 23, isn't it, I believe?
Supposed to be, but as Phil said, he didn't know the rules. He just picked all his favourite players.
Why wouldn't you ask to do it in round 23 then? Why do they wait until later on in the season?
It's like when they say with the Man of Steel, you know, and somebody asked me the question today about the Man of Steel, should it not be selected after the Grand Final?
Most of the players wouldn't be around for a dinner after the Grand Final. I think it's good that it's part of the build-up to the biggest night of the year.
Right. We also get to see, like last year, Dave Taylor voting for Beaufaloon, which was that great...
Well, do you know what, as well? I'm an ex-Man of Steel winner, and I've not been invited this year.
Why?
I don't know. I've not been invited this year.
So it's all right for you to be the ambassador for English Rugby League, leading the team out at Melbourne for the start of the World Cup.
Ceremony,
but you're not allowed to go to Manchester to celebrate an award that you've got your name on.
Yeah, not been invited.
That's good, isn't it? And they've got peas on toast, I'm told.
Peas on toast is coming soon.
I'm telling you now, I'm nervous because I've got to make these peas on toast, right? And I've never made it in my life.
It's coming. I'm having peas on toast.
I thought this was a serious rugby league programme.
I'm not here for 1 week and you end up getting yourself into a food eating challenge with peas on toast.
I still don't know how it happened.
How does that work?
Hey, listen, I want to get myself in the jungle, don't I? You know, I've been trying now for the
with
last
peas
seven,
on toast?
Oh, I'll eat oat, don't worry about that. You know, as I say, I'm a Bilal lad. Anything, you know,
I'm assuming these are bachelor's peas.
Well, I'm hoping so.
I'm not lying. It was whatever shop we could get near to.
I'm hoping so, but I say I'm trying to get myself in the jungle. You know, they've got my CV. ITV have got my CV from there. So yeah, I'll eat anything. Don't worry about that. Not an issue whatsoever.
I still think we should get you on Strictly. I think the BBC One prime.
Do you think he's got the moves?
I've got the hips. Don't worry about that. I've got the hips.
People remember. It's him. He used to be on the rugby on the Saturday afternoon on Grandstand. You know, when they used to show rugby before. 20 to midnight tonight. If only we were women's football, we'd be on that.
Rich, to be honest with you, if I'm on Strictly, these 32s are nipping. I might have to lose a touch.
The curse is Strictly. We've got 6 or 7 minutes before, no, not even that, before the news. Anything else on social media we can fill the time with?
Yes, plenty of people still calling for about Chester, saying Gary Stevens has said that Wakefield will have a new stadium and a squad better than Leeds by then, and Chester is going nowhere.
Yeah, we'll have a new stadium by then.
Would you like
be.
To comment on that?
Of course.
Our resident... Well,
as I've always said, my tune doesn't change. Is I'll believe it when I'm sat in it.
The thing is, though,
well, I'm very glad it's not going to be at Newmarket.
This is the right option, isn't it? This is
look
the...
at the AJ Bell Stadium. No one goes. It's in the middle of nowhere, and that's exactly what Newmarket
is. Is it going to be built on the site where it is now?
Yeah.
All right, OK.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, great. Shops and everything.
Let's hope it happens, then. Hey, let's hope it develops.
That's the good thing about it as well. Michael Carter said, and it's a great interview, especially if you're a Wakefield fan, head over to RadioYorkshire.co.uk and check it out. Always plug. But it's like he talks about the need to increase the off-field revenue. Mm-hmm. And I think if you have shops, for instance, like and more of a sort of a leisure facility, it might be a huge boost to Wakefield.
I just think you'll get loads of away fans. The thing that's missing at Wakefield at the moment, other than if it's a major game for the away club, is that fans won't go because of the facility. Mm. But if you get state-of-the-art... still atmospheric because it's going to have predominantly standing areas, but you've got proper toilet facilities, bar facilities, you can buy a burger if you want to, you can hold a function there when there's no rugby. That suddenly elevates you to a different level. And
I'll tell you what though, as Halifax yesterday, as people know with the commentary with Mark Wilson, I got myself a burger and chips yesterday, £7.
£7?
That's quid. Hardly a working class sport.
£7.
Oh, it's made of. You get a whole cow with it.
A burger and chips. Yeah. First of all, I want to say Ian Crowe, thanks very much for sorting a couple of tickets out for my Featherstone friend and my son as well for a few tickets yesterday, Ian. But I got me some burger and chips. £7. I nearly choked. £7. I had a fiver now, thinking it'd be about £4.95. Oh, you've not got enough there, he said. £7.
Yeah. Go on, Tom.
So there was obviously a lot of talk about Wigan.
We're still just getting over this £7 burger, but go on.
Burger and chips.
Burger and chips, sorry.
It is a bit of a rip off, to be honest, Scoey. On behalf of all the people of Halifax. On behalf
Andrew
of all the people of Halifax, I am sorry. Vossie was wanting to go to the game.
Just wanted to go to the pub.
Well, yeah, the Three Pigeon pub is pretty decent, Phil, to be fair. Anyway, obviously, a lot of talk about Wigan. People saying, calm down, still finished in sixth and half the team out injured. But this one from Simon says, how about
£7
this?
£7 million of the salary cap in the gym during the season.
Simon says this, how about this? The teams above Wigan are just better than they are this year. If Wigan want to progress, they need to get rid of the most overrated player ever in Sean O'Loughlin. If he's worth a spot in the dream team, I'm a 12-foot pixie, according to Simon. Seems a bit harsh.
But the stats don't lie. When he's in the Wigan team, they win.
They win.
Or when he's not, they don't.
But the same way Locker's plays, that he takes so much pressure off McAlorum, he takes so much pressure off George Williams. He just has that variations play where he just takes the pressure. It relieves McAlorum at times, and I say around the rook area from the communication, and also it gives George Williams a lot more time when he's playing wider from the rook area from there, which gives him a lot more time.
I think they've got a certain number of players who can do a specific job. Mm,
yeah. And that's what
they can't do something else. Yeah. And sometimes you need to be able to do more than just your specific. And they seem to have recruited. There are some players that you look at them, you go, yeah, I can see them in that team. And there are others who are playing at Wigan at the moment who you go, I just couldn't see them in a Wigan shirt before they signed for them.
Thomas Lulu. What's Thomas brought to that side?
Well, I think the problem was anyone who saw the Four Nations last year was questioning that signing.
And he's come on a long contract, of which some of it I appreciate is to bring him onto the coaching staff. And again, he is a back, and we said, you know, have they suffered from not having it?
But also as well...
But is he going to play in the same style? Is he going to coach in the same style as
he
plays?
But also as well, you know, they didn't have any hesitation when St. Enel's came in for Matty Smith. They didn't have any hesitation to say, no, you can go. Has Thomas Lulu been better than Matty Smith? Nowhere near,
He certainly hasn't got his kicking yet.
Nowhere near. You know, so, again, the recruitment for Wigan, it's got to be something that needs to be looked at.
I think, is there an issue as well about the fact that the 19s and the 16s playing exactly a similar style to the first team? The benefit of that is if you have to draft a lot of youngsters in, they know exactly the way to play and the transition is quick and smooth. The other thing is, it's not bringing you anything any different to the way that the philosophy that you play by.
We're heading inexorably towards the news at 7 o'clock. It's one of those phrases I use on the radio. No idea what it means. After which, we will talk about the semi-finals. We'll talk about how I jinxed Jamie Shaw for England by tweeting just before he dropped the ball on Friday. We may even talk about the League One Shield final because Hunslet have won silverware, everybody.
We'll sweep the seas before, boys, and so we shall again.
Will it be the only piece of silverware in the Leeds City rugby league in
2017? Always a comeback from a Wakefield fan. Always a comeback. It's a bit harsh, all right. It's a bit harsh.
And peas and other stuff. Don't forget.
I'm going to go make peas on toast.
You go make those. Both semi-finals live here on Radio Yorkshire this Thursday from 7, Castleford versus St Helens. And on Friday at 7, it's Leeds versus Hull, both here live on Radio Yorkshire. There's another hour of rugby league to come. Who knows exactly what we'll talk about, because knowing that, the plan will be thrown out of the window.
Proper Sport at 6. Want your say on all things rugby league? Radio Yorkshire, every Monday, 6 to 8pm. Opinions welcome. But be prepared to fight your corner.
I was inspired by the number of people on the pitch at Bellevue on Saturday celebrating not being involved in the £1 million game and finishing fifth, which is almost an achievement in itself. Wearing old shirts, so I've decided to wear my 1992 vintage Wakefield shirt, which Yorkshire Cup winning Wakefield shirt, of course.
Was only the late great Dave Topper? Was he the coach there? Topper, yes.
Nigel Wright.
Nigel Wright. Cudder.
The Tony Myler of his era.
Cudder. But Sandy
what wasn't. Was British Coal, by the way?
I don't know. Kids will be going, what is this? What is this? What is this black stuff? But no.
So should that be the away shirt next year?
Well, it should be all the shirts. It will be. In October, 25 years since that final across the road. The final.
Against Sheffield?
Gary Jack's Sheffield Eagles.
Was Gary Jack coaching Sheffield, was he?
He's playing. Yeah.
And was he coaching him?
I don't think he was coaching.
Gary was coaching.
Was Gary
coaching,
was it? All right. Gary Jack, did he play for Sheffield? I thought he just played for Salford.
Bruiser Maguire played for Salford.
And then just
another Balmain.
Yeah, Bruce Maguire. He played for Warrington as well, didn't he? Bruce Maguire.
Not sure.
3 days later, Wakefield won their first league game of that season by beating a Gary Schofield-less Leeds side at Bellevue.
Was there a bus tour with the Yorkshire?
There was a last-minute drop goal from Nigel Wright. I was ball-boying, and in the where the home dressing room is now at Bellevue was the old office, and the Yorkshire Cup was just there on the floor. Now it's in a cupboard in Halifax, in Huddersfield, and what can you do about it?
Is that what it is? Is it?
It's at the John Smith Stadium, I believe.
Right.
It was last time I saw it. Mm-hmm. The wonderful Yorkshire Cup. Get involved on social media at RLNRY. If you tweet us tonight, you will be in the hat to win a pair of tickets for the grand final, which we will talk about, I am sure.
I can smell peas.
And the peas are coming. And if you just share the video on Facebook, you're in the hat as well. Loads of people loving SCOE. David's asked if you apply for the Workington Town job.
No, I've not. No. And if I'm honest here now, yeah, I'm not. From a coaching point of view, I'm not interested in getting involved in coaching. I want to be like a mentor for halfbacks. I'd like to be involved in the England setup in some sort of way from there. But as far as being a coach now of the team, no, I've had my time, and no, not for me. Isn't
what coaching. About Barra? You still the honorary coach?
Yeah, well,
I've had you P45 from
No, they're going out to Pakistan in November, but I'm at the World Cup, so unfortunately I've had to miss out on that one, Phil, to be honest with you. But, I say we're coaching. The job, what I would take, I'd like to get involved with, say, on the 16s, 17s, 18s, 19s on an international or a representative level.
Talking of which, there's a really interesting comment in today's League Express. Not that there isn't normally really interesting comments, but there's a particularly interesting comment. There's a feature that Aaron Bauer's done on the Hull Academy, which obviously is a merged one, and he's interviewed Danny Wilson, who's the man who heads up the Academy. And I think the quote that's interesting, because it follows on from a lot of things we've spoken about over this summer about participation rates, is he says, "I know there are only 120 players at one age group in Hull." That's a worry. That's why people like you need to get involved to...
It is a massive worry. It is.
...rally the troops and see if we can put a halt to that. Yeah. I have a feeling that might even be at under 16, which, again, is that step up to professional.
It is a massive worry.
Nearly as big a worry.
This is a delicatessen in Belisle. Is this? Let's bring it home.
If you're watching the cameras, they are peas on toast.
I've got your spoon here for your mint sauce, mate. Oh, you don't need it.
Proper way, don't worry about that.
Or in the mint sauce.
I'm going to change the camera.
While he's doing this, you'll see it online, facebook.com, search for Radio Yorkshire. Bit of housekeeping. 4020 magazine is out. He's been out a while now. It's just been a while since
he's been out. It's been out, well, a week and a half.
Anybody want to try some?
And I'm not a fan of peas.
It's nice of you to ask, but we'll pass on that. Kind of, you seem to be enjoying it far too much for us to take that away from you.
Always lots of stuff in there for everyone to read. If you,
that's probably how we should market it. Lots of stuff.
That's what I try and do with Sport on Sunday. I never know what I'm going
to
do.
I'll just apologise to the listeners if I'm not speaking for the next 5 minutes. I'm just enjoying the an a la carte peas on toast here. As I say, it's all part of the of growing up and where I come from in Belisle. I'll tell you what. These bachelor's peas are an absolute delight. Cheers, Tom. Thanks very much.
They're going to send us some more peas.
The Michelin starred there.
Can I get a smile?
And while we're doing bits of plugging stuff... Sorry. I know we're trying to do a radio show here, everybody, but it's turning into... I don't know what it's turning into. You've got a Rugby League book being launched at your shop next Wednesday.
Yes, which Gary is going to come along to because, again, it's World Cup related and he is now the official ambassador of the England World Cup bid. It's an Australian journalist called Andrew Marmont who's written about 10 great World Cup games that tell the story of the tournament going back to 1954. Been published initially in Australia. It's coming over here. We're welcoming Andrew. He's due here beginning part of next week. And if anybody would like to come along to the shop next Wednesday in Roundhay in Leeds, any time after 5, you'd be more than welcome.
I should have. Because
we
I
won't be giving peas on toast.
Is peas on toast available?
There will definitely no peas on toast.
Honestly, boys, you don't know what you're missing.
I think we do. I think you'll find we do.
I've got a copy of the book in my bag as well. I should have brought it in to show. But, well worth checking that out. So we'll mention it again next week.
And we're getting close to that time of the year where books might make very good presents.
Gary said, where do you get that 4020 magazine from, please?
You can get it from any independent news agent. If they don't stock it, then you can ask them and they have access to it. Sir Naz does stock it and WH Smith's. Or if you go on www.scratchingshedpublishing.com, we can subscribe or we'll find a way of getting it to you.
Someone, which is Andrew, says we should... Scotty's absolute gold. Give the man a pay rise. They can pay him.
Mark Wilson, are you listening? Mark Wilson, are you listening?
He's got peas on toast. What does he need paying for as well?
Make sure you don't scrap that out of the recording. Mark Wilson, are you listening?
It's all gone to
was that Chris Chester's agent who said Gary should be
there? John says as well, give a shout out to the England Lions under 18s who are playing Scotland under 19s at Lee at 12 noon on grand final Saturday. So if you're heading to Manchester.
Excellent.
Head to Lee before that and now watch the internationals. And well, as we're giving out praise with people who've won stuff, Hunter, of course, winning the League One Shield. Halifax winning the Wheelchair Challenge Cup.
Fantastic. Done the double. Final. They won the Challenge Cup. They've now won the Grand Final. If you haven't seen Wheelchair Rugby League, I cannot recommend it enough. It's everything you would hope to see. It's brutal. They have absolutely no fear. There is a huge level of skill involved. It's fast, it's exciting, not quite as quick as
beautiful.
The speed with which
absolute
Gary's eaten peas on toast.
Thank you very much. But absolute sensational, then. Absolute beautiful. Do you know what?
Do I get a Michelin star, Scully?
Do you know what? I feel as though here, me now, I fancy a game of rugby league. Do you know what? I fancy a game of rugby. Do you know what should be eating peas on toast?
Catalan.
From now, correct. From now until Saturday, it's a Catalan Dragons. Get some peas and toast.
I think you'll find it.
I see what I'm buzzing
for. Petit pois.
I'm absolutely buzzing. I could do 80 minutes.
Bachelor's petit pois.
What's toasting for? I don't know. We'll do a bit more social media before we get into
beautiful,
the semi-finals.
Absolute beautiful.
Thank you. And as we keep saying, if you share the video on Facebook, if you tweet us up until midnight on Wednesday, you will, of course, be put into the draw to win a pair of grand final tickets, which is not a bad prize whatsoever, thanks to our good friends at the Rugby Football League. We love them all there at Red Hall and Media City and everywhere else where they live. What's going on then, Tom, before we get into anything else?
So we were talking about, obviously, the Dream Team. A few people actually have said this. Matty Ashurst was unlucky not getting into it.
Yeah, Matty Ashurst was in mine.
Especially considering that Murdoch Masilla had only a good first 20 rounds, according to Tom Colley.
Only three he had badly.
Tom Colley on 17 on Twitter. Thank you very much for getting in touch. Scoey, Luke Bodkin wants to know, what do you think Maguire is going to do for KR in the Super League next year?
It's an interesting one because, with my experience, when I left Leeds and I went to Huddersfield, and the fact of the matter is, Danny's not going to be playing with the same quality of players he's played with Leeds all his career. So the situation with Danny, and I've spoken to him about it as well, is... Excuse me from there, just the peas are just...
yummy.
The peas are just nicely selling, but... as I mentioned,
nicely for you, not for us.
To Danny, at times it'll get frustrating for him because, as I've mentioned, he's not going to be playing with the same quality players he's played all his career there at Leeds. So what he's got to understand is, he's got to understand very, very quickly, is he maybe just have to say, well, OK then, I may have to just drop down a level from there where I can't keep going on and going on and going on. And then hopefully the OKR players will realise, hey, we've got to step up. We've got to step up two steps up this ladder to get to the quality what Danny's looking for. So at first, he'll find it pretty tough. At first, he'll find it frustrating. But if that understanding is there from the players with what Danny wants to bring to that side, from a point of view where he's looking at quality, not just 80 minutes on a Sunday afternoon, but quality in training, the right attitude, the right commitment, the right fun, what he'll want to bring to the training sessions, then he should do OK. But at first, it'll be pretty tough and it'll be pretty frustrating.
I have to say, at the moment, he's playing incredibly well.
I'll tell you what, boy, oh boy, is he playing well.
And the last 2 weeks in particular, he scored a try at Huddersfield on Friday night.
Maguire that, ball,
yeah,
wasn't it?
The last tackle play, spotted there was a gap on the blind side, not only went through it, but then drew the fullback, had his winger in support, but dummied and went himself. That was the Danny Maguire of 10 or 15. And speaking to him after the game, he's just enjoying himself at the moment. He's prepared for the fact that there is going to be some emotional time, either within the next 80 minutes or 160 minutes, but he's not going to lose sight of the fact that this is his time and he needs to make the most of it. And the last 2 weeks in particular...
He's got the smile back on his face,
hasn't he? He's been a revelation.
He's got the mojo back, he's got the smile back on his face, and... As I say, we'll talk about the semi-finals, I would imagine, in the last half hour, the last 40 minutes. But Maguire himself, and I say with Burrow, we all know it's the last, well, maybe the last game or maybe the last two games, but Leeds, what we're worrying about, emotion. No, they can't play any emotion from there. And as I say, Maguire, he's got his mojo back now and he's playing very, very well.
And it could well be that the last act he has in a shirt that he's graced for 16 years is to lift a trophy, which obviously... would be the first time that he's been able to do that. He's been captain for the last 2 years. Last year, he genuinely thought about giving the game away after last year. It's such a difficult time for him, injury-wise and the way the team was playing. This year, he's looked at the fact that he's always enjoyed playing at the McAlpine Stadium, as was the John Smiths as it is now. He's always enjoyed playing at Headingley. He's got that now. His final game is this week.
He's always enjoyed playing at Old Trafford.
So the three grounds that have meant the most to him, so has Burrow.
He's got a try at the John Smiths. He loves playing at Headingley, scored many, many great tries, and also to quality tries, important tries in big games. And I say, how many he tries and scored in big games at Old Trafford. So there's plenty of history there, plenty.
Has it been a case of Rob Burrow and Danny Maguire sort of rolling back the years past couple of weeks, do you reckon?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. I reckon so, Tom. Yeah, I do.
I think they're fit. Danny said he feels as good as he's felt for a number of years at the moment. He's really looking forward to the emotion that is going to be running out at Headingley for the last time. Win, lose or draw. Well, it can't be a draw. There's no replay, I don't think, in semi-finals. Win or lose, I think that is it's a massive event for him and Robin. You think back to 2015 and the semi-final that Leeds played against St Helens, where it looked like they were going to lose, and that was all the Sinfield Peacock Luluai.
Let's jump into the semi-finals. And look, we're talking about Leeds and Hull from there. And I think from Leeds' point of view, Hull haven't won there now, and it's great that Radders says, well, he didn't know about this, that they've not won there for the last 9 years. Of course he will know. Of course you will know, Lee. The old reporters will be telling you, Lee, you haven't won there for the last 9 years.
He played the last time they won there.
Exactly. So he will know from there. But as I say, Leeds, They what forgot the semi-final of the Challenge Cup. They know they didn't play anywhere near to their potential from there, and I say they won't be playing on the emotion. And I just feel as though Hull, when they're good, they're good. But I was speaking to one of their main men after the game at Castleford on Friday, and the big problem for Hull is, and you know when they bring Galafelis off, they struggle for 20 minutes, 25 minutes while they're off.
Same with Sean O'Loughlin.
If they go to sleep for 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and Leeds manage to put a try or two on the board, it's good night, God bless the Hull, because Leeds, as we know, big game players, been in this big game, big occasions before, they will close up shop and Hull will get frustrated. So what Hull have to do, if they are going to win the game on Friday night, they've got to make sure they play for the full 80 minutes. Do you know what I would do with Gareth Ellis? I would play Gareth on that pitch until he says, I've had enough, whether that's after 50 minutes, 55, 60, or if he wants to stay in for 80, play
and,
for the
and not bring him back. Not and take not, him off and bring him back. No, just no, keep no. him out
just,
there.
Just keep him out there until he says, my body's gone. I would imagine Gareth will say, I can play the full 80. Don't worry about that. But it's a big problem when he goes off. There's a situation there where the intensity drops. They're looking for a leader. They're looking for a warrior. And they seem to struggle.
It's a big problem next year when he's retiring. And he's looking to...
Yeah, but
we're talking
about this semi-final from there. I think Leeds... They're looking for revenge. So I think Leeds will win this by 10 points.
The strange thing is... I mean, there's two things here. Hull are the only team that can do the double. And we've almost forgotten that, talking about who should be the coach of the year, who should be in the dream team, that actually Hull stand on the verge of history. Their club has never won the double before. Mm. But Leeds are barely being talked about. Mm. Most of the pundits have barely mentioned them for the last few weeks. And I think that's the way Leeds like it. Mm. They prefer to fly under the radar. They always have to have an internal bubble that is only the preserve of those who are in the dressing room. And at the moment, I think that centres around going from ninth and ignominy last year to potentially appearing at Old Trafford this year. I think that means everything to them. I don't know whether that's a serious enough motivation to get them to Old Trafford, but internally, that's what's driving them. And I think as much as even people like Mitch Garbutt were saying on Friday, they really want to do the best that they can for Danny and Rob because they've been such servants. Well, Hull will be saying the same about Gareth Ellis.
There's a few comments on
Mahe Fanua. Yeah. There's always people that are leaving clubs.
Motto Tony as well as leaving.
You
want to
send them out. And you know, they've all made incredible contributions. Yeah. The slight difference with Borough and Maguire is that's the only club so far that they've played for over a very long period of time.
Yeah, but you know what, Phil? It ain't going to be one on emotion.
No, but
there's
also to factor in, as Richard hinted at the start of the programme, there is going to be a different dynamic about the ground. That it's only going to hold 12,000 people, of which 3,000 will come from Hull. Absolutely no doubt that the fantastic black and white supporters will take their full allocation.
They'll make plenty of noise.
And the bookies can barely split them. I think that there is a feeling that Castleford go into the game against St Helens as clear a favourites, as they should, because of where they finished in the league this year. But Hull are the best cup team over the last 2 years, but Leeds have got the best grand final experience. Then they know how to get there.
Right then, Philip.
How do you split them?
Right then, Philip. We did the last tackle a little bit earlier, and you sat on the fence. We don't sit on the fence here at Radio Yorkshire.
I think he's changed his mind in the last hour and a half.
Who are you going for, Mr. Kaplan? Come on, Philip. Don't be shaking your head. Don't be giving the heavy breathing, Philip.
I suspect
who are you going for?
That both teams
don't
are going to be.
Don't suspect anything. Who are you going for?
At full strength. And if they are...
Don't be sitting on the fence. Who are you going for, Philip?
I think we'll have an all-West Yorkshire grand final.
So that's Leeds.
Castleford against Leeds.
Before we go any further, the listeners want to pull up Phil Kaplan.
Hooray. They do. Phil, a few people have noted, obviously, you were saying that Hull could be the only team to do the double. Well, what about Hull? Hull being the only team to do the double. What about Cass? Does the League Leaders' Shield count, is what people are asking.
The double is traditionally the Challenge Cup and what has been the championship.
Well, the League Leaders' Shield
is a relatively new...
The
double historically has been the Cup and the League.
Well, should it count now as a double?
It will be a double, but not what has traditionally been known as the double.
I tell you what, if Casper are doing it, they will be marketing it as a double. I can reassure you.
Yes, no, absolutely.
And rightly so.
Well, that's what Gary Stevens has said.
Historically, the double.
So we both claim the cup. So we both
in for all Leeds. Sports. Right, okay, the double is the cup and the league.
So we both claim for Leeds then on Friday night. Right then, Castleford and St Helens, as our good friend Richard Shawright was saying before we came on the show, and he's surprised, just like I am, what I'm hearing, people. They don't want Casper to win, for whatever reason.
People don't like success.
Which people? Let's call them out. Which people?
People are ready to stick the boot
They're ready to stick
who?
They are.
Who?
Plenty. There's plenty. There's plenty of people.
Media love them.
There's plenty of people. There's plenty of people around my area who know they don't want Casper to win. And also, as well, I'm working with the Featherstone chairman and I'm around Featherstone here.
They certainly
can Featherstone.
But in the same way that I'm pretty sure Wigan fans don't want St Helens to win.
Well, Huntsley fans don't want Leeds to win, and Leeds fans wouldn't want Huntsley to win yesterday. That's only common sense. But
anybody who's watched Castleford this year.
I'd like to think there were Leeds Rhinos fans who just thought, we're going to go down and chill London Scotland on the
because we hate Huntsley. Hey, listen. Hey, Rich, let me tell you this. You know when Huntsley played at Headingley 3 years ago in that final there? Huntsley fans, I think there's about 300 of them. Didn't go because it was being held at Headingley and they didn't want to put any coffers into wherever it goes. Honestly, because it was Headingley from there. But anyway, we're not talking about that. Casper and St Helens on
Thursday
night.
Who says we're parochial? I don't know.
When we say Casper have been sensational all season, but there's three situations here. Can Castleford handle the pressure? People are saying, can Castleford win semi-final football games playing the way what they are playing? And then thirdly, it's from a point of view where is Luke Gale going to play? And if he is, how effective is he going to be after appendicitis and having his appendix taken out?
He looked well today, didn't he?
He did look well. When we spoke to him and Zach Hardacre. Great little interview, actually. Again,
presumably you weren't tackling him in the rib area at the time.
No, but I won't lie to you. Like, we were like down the pecking order for Zach and Luke to get an interview with them. So basically, they'd got changed. So they were a bit, it seemed miffed at first, but then we had to get them to come and get changed before coming and speaking to us. So they've got the Dream Team kit on, and you can go and watch that already. yorkshire.co.uk, just plug in the
website.
Do they
get to keep that kit?
Yeah, they do, actually.
They've got the name.
But the thing is, as well, there was a nicer kit with all their name, every name on, rather than just their own, and they all signed it. And Mahe Fanua was saying to me he wishes he could have taken that one, and I basically had to tell him, don't steal it, because obviously you never know.
Well, as we know, the whole FC wingers are bad people, because that's what coaches are saying, so we need to get on to that as well.
Right, anyway, Phil. Castleford and St Helens. Can they win it?
Yeah.
Can they handle the pressure?
Yeah.
And Luke Gale?
I think Castleford...
Is that a gamble?
Yes. I think Castleford have known that this was the situation they were going to be in for at least 4 weeks. How you keep the intensity when you're trying to preserve your best 13 is difficult. But I have no doubt that on their pitch, where they have been so dominant this year, they will not be fearing anybody.
Will they handle the pressure?
It'll be a different situation because I think the fans will be nervy as much as the players. And whilst there is a fantastic atmosphere at the jungle, it'll start off quiet because traditionally these games do, because so much is at stake that everybody is almost holding their breath. Mm. So it will be different. It won't be something that they've experienced before. But I think Darrell is shrewd enough to know that this is an 80 minutes that's been in the planning for 5 weeks. And he knows what his best team is. You can't legislate for what's happened to Luke Gale. He will have a big decision to make because it'd be Luke's decision.
It is, yeah. Darrell can't say to him, you're playing. You're having a jab.
You're definitely playing or you're definitely not playing. Only Luke will know.
You can't have a jab for appendicitis.
And there is a history of players who've gone into big games who are carrying injuries and it's backfired.
Absolutely.
In fact, it did to Castleford in 2014 at Wembley. Yeah. Craig Hubie, right until the last minute, was he going to play? Was he not going to play? They needled him up and he did play and it didn't work. So I think there is a big decision that needs to be made by Luke himself as to, it's not whether you can swim 20 lengths, it's whether you can have Alex Walmsley under your ribcage 3 or 4 times in the opening 10 minutes and that, you know, you can cope with that.
Well, I'll say this much, Phil. Sorry to interrupt, but today we interviewed him. Like I say, you can go watch it, but we were speaking to him. He seemed in good form. He seemed fine. He seemed healthy. He also said he'd been in training just this morning. Mm. So I think he's certainly, you know, things are looking promising for the
I would imagine that Darryl would be saying to somebody like Gadwin Springer on sort of Wednesday this week, just take Luke in the corner and just hit him three or four times.
No, he won't. No, he won't.
And if he doesn't...
No, he won't.
And if he can handle it...
No,
he's fit. And if he can't...
I can tell you, that won't be happening. No way.
Wouldn't you do that?
No, pick somebody else who doesn't hit as hard as a Springer, to be honest with you.
But that's what the St Helens pack will be doing.
Oh, yeah, but I know, but if he's doing it on Wednesday, that's going to happen Thursday. He's got another 24 hours to wait for it, hasn't he? But also another question is...
Can they win without him is the question, if he can't play.
I think they can because young Truman didn't have nowhere near as effective game against Hull because he was lacking experience. Fair play to Tom Holmes, he did his best, but he hadn't got the experience. If Luke doesn't play and Truman does, he'll have the quality of Benny Roberts at the side of him. So I don't have an issue if Truman fills in there for Gale. I still think that they've got enough to beat St Helens.
Would you put McShane in there?
No.
Because it upsets the dynamic.
It upsets it all.
But just, you could still put Adam Milner back into it.
No. Just keep the natural halfbacks on there. They won't lose. They won't lose too much. Yeah, obviously we know the influence what Luke Gale has got on Cass, but with the way Truman is, the way Darryl Pyle has let him express himself, that won't be that major issue. Another question I'm going to put to you is, we'll see a character in Castleford, maybe a different character. Say, for instance, if St Helens go 12-0 up in the first, say, 10 or 15 minutes, will they be able to handle that? Do you think?
Well, they will certainly feel the pressure.
Because the ground will be silent, won't it?
The level of expectation will be ratcheted up.
Yeah.
Look at it from the other side. St Helens have actually got nothing to lose. The bookies are making them 4-1. They've only qualified for the semi-final in the final week of the season. But their last two or three results has infused them with a confidence, particularly the win at Wakefield. It might have been slightly ugly. It might have been in the last minute. But as a player, you get more out of those results than playing really well and winning 32-0.
Job satisfaction for 80 minutes.
And you're looking at Ben Barber each week is getting slightly better, not only in his own game, but the players that are around him are starting to respond to what he can do. I think Regan Grace has kicked on in the last two or three weeks because Barber's linking on his side, giving him some good ball, and Grace will be one of the candidates for Young Player of the Year, I'm sure. He's been superb. The issue for St Helens, and I think it's been acknowledged by Justin Holbrook today, is I'm not sure he knows what his best half-back combination is. And it's difficult to go into a semi-final saying, do I rely on Theo Farge, who's had a good year, and youngster Danny Richardson, who again has never played in this cauldron environment? Could be the making of him.
Or do I go with
Matty Smith, who knows how steer a team to a grand final?
You play Theo Farge and Richardson. Simple as that, you leave Matty Smith out.
And where do you play Johnny Lomax?
That's an interesting one.
Making St Lomax, Percival... Mm. Grace is... Well, you've got a touch of everything there.
When you talk about breaking things up a little bit, like we're saying here, Max Shane can't go half-back, Kima Hooker, what they've done with signing Benny Barber and playing him at full-back, they have spoilt that. They have spoilt where, you know, Lomax is a natural full-back. He's not a centre, he's not a stand-off, it's been proven.
But the last 2 weeks, it's sort of worked for them.
I'm not convinced.
I think that it could well come down to a kicking game. And if Luke Gale doesn't play, then that's one thing that Castleford won't be as dominant at.
Well, Truman's not got a bad... He's not too bad, mate. An option of Benny Roberts and Max Shane at times.
Yeah,
yeah. I'll understand
but
that.
Luke Gale's,
that.
One of Luke Gale's chief assets...
Correct, I'll buy into that,
...is
yes.
playing in the right side, the right place in the field.
So, the way Castleford are playing, what a load of nonsense it is when people are saying they can't win semi-final football games by playing this Nancy-Pansy rugby league. Of course they can.
But they've also proved this year, particularly when they went to Wigan, that they can play an alternative style if they need to.
Yeah, of course they can. They when the pressure's on and when they want to change, when they want to show the desire and the character, the listed Catalans, I'm talking about the Castleford players here, not you. When I talk about desire and enthusiasm and commitment, they can put it in the boys.
And they've got Zach Hardy, who's been there, done that.
Yeah. So who do you fancy then? I'm going Leeds by 10 and I'm going Castleford by 10.
I think Castleford will win. It may be closer if Gale doesn't play, but I still think they've got enough to win it without him.
Do you know what I'm hoping as well?
And I just think the game should celebrate if they do.
Oh, divide up, yeah. And what I'm hoping as well is that it's not decided on a referee's call. It's not decided on a video referee's call, you know.
No, it won't.
Let's just hope that... well, I'm sure they are. The, you know, the four sides will give us quality semi-final football. And at the end, may the best team wins. And I reckon it's going to be Leeds at Cass by 10 each. Simple as that.
I think it's quite exciting as well that there is a possibility that we could have two teams in the final if it was Castleford and Hull that haven't won it before. Mm. That's actually quite important for Super League where it is at the moment, to have a new name on the trophy, to be looking at breaking up this. There's only four teams that have ever won it. I think you're looking at most of the combinations would be near sellouts at Old Trafford. The only one that might not for the neutral would be a Leeds St Helens final, but I still think there'd be enough interest from those two clubs, the history behind that, and again the farewell of Maguire and Burrow, who've enjoyed playing against St Helens in grand finals before. I think whatever the combination is, it should be something you can really get behind for next week.
Tell you what, I know another thing. I don't want to say if it doesn't work out for Cass, but I think it will. I don't want to be hearing Castleford fans, you know, saying, well, at this moment in time, Castleford are on 50 points and St Helens are on 33. Yes, you are 17 points clear of St Helens, but if it doesn't work out on Thursday night, which I'm saying I think it will do, they will be going to Old Trafford. But let's not be hearing, how can St Helens be there when we are 17 points clear? It is what it is. Everybody knows what the situation is from there. First place four, second place third, and get on with it. Simple as that. But Castleford will win.
If Richardson and Farge do start at half-back for St Helens, will they be allowed to kick the ball on the last tackle, or will their captain draw rank?
Rich.
He hasn't been doing it as much over the last two or three weeks.
Lisa Marshall's got into it saying that Wilkins' kicking game will be the difference.
Do me a favour.
with a laughing smile.
Listen, I had my bit of a say about it last week or the week before, and I'm not saying it anymore about John Wilkin. I've had my say.
Isn't it strange? We had those two big English halfback moves in the off season: Matty Smith from Wigan to Saints, Kevin Brown from Widnes to Warrington, and all four teams haven't
It hasn't worked, has it? It has not worked. All right, Matty Smith got injured, and then obviously Kieran Cunningham, who, you know, put all the faith in Matty Smith, he got the bullet, but he's not been playing good enough. And Ewan Richardson deserves his spot, and well, for Kevin Brown at Warrington, quite simply, it's been a disaster.
What happens?
Absolute disaster.
Jake Connor or Josh Griffin for Hull?
I tell you what, that's a big call.
Connor first hat-trick of his career last week. He's different.
It's got to be Jake Connor for mine. It's got to be Jake Connor.
Do you go with Griffin because he's defensively a better player?
Oh, Jake Connor can tackle at
and
times.
Connor off the bench because he can mix it up a bit?
I think he's got to start with Jake Connor.
I think that would be an interesting one for Lee.
Got to start.
Another cab off the London rank as well at Cass on Friday, and that hat-trick for Ogodo as well looked very impressive. Didn't have too much to do in terms of scoring those tries, but was in the right place.
Oh, Rich, don't, you know, let's not take it away from the kid.
No, he's in the right place.
He was in the right place. It was the right depth from there, and it was a little bit of a mixed game because, you know what, it were too over-excited. It were too over-enthusiastic when I was trying to get with the player the balls, and he spilled it from there. But I tell you what, the kid's position of play was good. He took the high balls pretty well. His communication was good, and hey, I'll tell you what, the kid can finish.
Would that be something that Leeds would want to exploit? The fact that he got a hat-trick by drawing wingers in a little bit?
Well, we've got to talk about these Hull wingers, haven't we?
Because they're beasts.
You know, Daryl Powell and Brian McDermott have both said, they get a lot of penalties, these Hull wingers. They must be doing something.
There's going to be a lot of pressure on the referees from them, because I would imagine Mr. Cantor, who's in charge of the referees, and whoever else is in charge of referees, because
it's Nigel Wood. We learnt that 2 weeks ago.
But I reckon the referees or the referee will be policing that very, very well, because everybody knows what comments Macca said a couple of weeks ago. We all know what Dowell said after the game on Friday. I reckon that will be policed.
Well, our best referee is Phil Benton.
Phil Benton's the best referee.
Which game is he going to get? Correct. Is he going to get Cass and Saints, or is he going to get Leeds and Hull?
You know, referees.
Toulouse and Dewsbury.
Who's going to get the other game?
No, do you know what? Phil Benton should referee Thursday, Friday, Millie Pound game. Why can't I do that? Why can't I? Give him 3 games.
He's full time.
Yeah, he's full time.
Give him some peas on toast. He can do anything.
I'll tell you what, I'm buzzing me. I'm ready. I'll referee 3 games on peas on toast. I'll tell you.
Can you imagine the abuse? Well, Sky would have to turn the microphone off and play the games at 11 o'clock at night.
Who's gonna, I would get if I were referee? Yeah. Why would I be getting abuse?
Who's going to be the other referee? Is it going to
be Mature. I won't be playing the 10-metre rule. It'll be the 5-metre rule.
James Child or Robert Hicks for the other game?
Oh, well, neither for me. Neither.
Just lawlessness. Just let them do it themselves.
Neither for me.
Self-policing.
Neither.
Self-policing rugby league players. Jamie Shaw. I tweeted halfway through... Well... just as soon as he scored that try against Cassard on Friday night, he should be in the England squad behind Hardacre. He then proceeds to drop the ball, but he then, scored another try in the game. He's been consistent throughout the year.
Hull's leading try scorer.
Should he be on the plane? Should he be in the England squad for the World Cup?
It's going to be an interesting one, because what I'm hearing here, which I find an absolute nonsense, is that Hardacre is going to be playing in the centres. Well, why would Hardacre be playing in the centres when he's an absolute natural fullback? He's the best fullback in Super League, head and shoulders above everybody else. And then when you consider the other, if we are going to take two fullbacks in Tompkins and Shaw and Lomax, you'd say maybe a flip of a coin. But what I will say for Jamie Shaw is he wouldn't let anybody down in England jersey. He wouldn't from there. But I cannot understand for the life of me that Zach Hardacre is being considered not as a fullback, but as a centre. I'm just not having it.
Has Sam Tompkins played well enough to
no,
get on the plane?
No, not for mine.
Because he was doing about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think, particularly in the semi-final when they beat Salford. I thought that was his best game of the season. Positionally, he was good. He was linking in really well. He was making a decisive contribution. But as Wigan have fallen away, he hasn't been able to dominate. Is he still at a level where he can be seen to be a World Cup candidate?
Well, we've got other guys who are playing better than him. Mm. And Lomax at full-back.
I think Jamie Shaw's stats this year have been fantastic.
And also as well, I think what Sam's got to concentrate on as well, instead of being a media pundit, he's got to concentrate on being a major senior player for the Wigan Warriors. He's got to forget all about that. He has. It's too early for him.
Well, is this part of the reason why Tompkins perhaps... And he's a divisive figure among rugby league supporters. Is this a reason why he doesn't get perhaps the credit he deserves, as good as he is, but he perhaps isn't as good as he was? There was a concern he never wasn't there to make him the face of rugby league, and it hasn't worked out for him for injuries and whatever reason. But still people believe that he's promoted as a better player than he is. And is that the problem with Sam Tompkins? Obviously, he's not quite as good as the player he could have been.
I think he's played in a team this year that's struggled more than it's been successful. That, yes, they got to Wembley, which shouldn't be sniffed at. Yes, they won the World Club Series. But week to week, Wigan haven't been as good as we would normally expect from Wigan. And that makes it difficult to shine when you're at the back. The one thing he has to his advantage is that he has played at an NRL level, and that's the level you're going to have to play at if you're seriously going to do anything in the World Cup.
All right, well,
Jamie Shaw hasn't.
How do you think he did in the NRL then?
But the one thing... No, but he knows the level you've got to play. Whether he was successful playing at that level is partly down to the injuries.
Yeah, he couldn't handle that level. That's why he came home.
But Jamie Shaw has never even experienced that level.
You don't believe in that,
then? I'm not sure. I think having tasted the level you need to be at or seen it at first hand is an advantage. The one thing that Jamie Shaw's got that Sam Tompkins most definitely hasn't is out-and-out raw pace. Mm. And particularly not just when he picks up loose balls and goes 60, 70 metres, which you've seen him do a lot this year. It's when he goes into acting half-back and an unsuspecting defence isn't properly set at marker and Shaw's gone.
Yeah.
He's made a lot of really good breaks out of dummy half. And you can see tiring New Zealand forwards being susceptible to something like that. But I just wonder whether, in the thinking of Wayne Bennett, he wants players that have seen the level that you've got to attain for when it comes down to the last minute of a test match and you've got to beat New Zealand. And it's about your positional play, it's about your awareness, it's about having a sixth sense of what the opposition are going to do. And sometimes you might only get that when you've been in those positions. The advantage for Zach Hardacre is the spell that he had at Penrith, I think. I think that's why he is the full package. And looking at the dream team,
where would you pick him? He's not a centre. He's got to pick him at fullback. He's got to be picked at fullback.
I really would, because I think we have got some centres that can play at that
if they get the right service.
Level.
If they get the right service, we've got quality centres with pace. We've got wingers with pace. We've got a fullbacks with pace.
I think the likes of Watkins and Percival as a pairing could trouble the Australians.
Will Watkins be the centre? Does he deserve to be the centre on form? Or is he getting picked on reputation?
Again, I know you don't believe in stats, but sometimes they do tell a little bit of a story. I think you look at what he's done this year, he's been incredibly solid. He's added a defensive side to it. He's being made to make 35 to 40 tackles a game.
Which is wrong.
Because other teams are targeting him, and while ever he's tackling, he isn't destructively running. But I still think physique-wise, the natural footwork that he's got, he's the kind of player that troubles Australian teams. He's not predictable. Martin Gleeson had it. You know, they don't know how to defend against guys that have got good footwork. They do know how to defend against them, but it's very hard to. Latrell Mitchell is a little bit like this at the moment for the Roosters. Big guys with good footwork, hard to defend against. So, yes, I would take him, and I think he's one of the guys that can play at that higher level.
Right.
In which case, Zach Hardacre is definitely a fullback.
Slightly concerning that the rugby league media thinks Zach Hardacre is a fullback, but Wayne Bennett perhaps might not. Social media, apart from people arguing if Castlewood fans are arrogant or not, what else is going on? We seem to have dominated our timeline in the past 10 minutes.
Why would they be arrogant?
I don't.
I put it out on Twitter. Are people too keen for Castleford not to make the grand final? And there's a bit of a debate going on about confidence and arrogance and the difference between, and also the fact
Castleford aren't showing any sort of arrogance or disrespect to anybody. They're just enjoying.
They've earned the right.
Correct, but they're just enjoying what they've achieved this year.
Now, we're part of the Castleford Living Rugby League media. So
no, hold on, Richie. I don't think it's a love for Castleford. I think it's a depreciation and a respect on how they're playing the game of rugby league. And at the end of the day, they're playing it differently to everybody else, and that's why their head and shoulders above everybody else. And I think we've got to respect that.
Fair enough. So we've obviously asked out there as well, Sam Tompkins, up for debate, should he be the England fullback or not? Plenty of people going against your thoughts, Phil. Hardacre got to be fullback, but Shula on the plane and no Ratchford. Tompkins is not the same player as he was before New Zealand. And people saying, obviously, going in on Nigel Bennett, I don't know if we'll have time to get into that again, but lots of people saying that Tompkins shouldn't be the England fullback.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, find
I think
out
we're
you?
Agreed on that.
A week, well, 2 weeks today, we find out the England's
9th of October.
I think it's the Monday after the grand final, isn't it? Yeah.
So 2 weeks today, we will find out who's in and who's not. And the USA squad's out. That's exciting. They're ready.
A dozen domestic players, which is good for their game.
Brian McDermott ready to lead. Will he be singing the anthem? Will he upset Donald Trump?
Going down on a knee.
This is...
If he takes a knee,
tweet Donald
great.
Trump, find out if he knows who Brian McDermott is.
On it.
He'll know who I am.
I said Brian McDermott, in a fight between those two.
See if he knows who I am. Tom, see if he knows who I am, Donald Trump. What do you reckon, Rich?
He will for the peas on toast, go ahead.
We haven't really talked about Whitehaven and York and Barrow and Newcastle.
Barrow and Whitehaven, well done to Paul
in the League One promotion final.
Yeah, well done to Paul Clear and the boys. Also to Carl, is it Foster or Forber who's the coach up there? Yeah, well Carl done Foster. To Carl Whitehaven. Great, well done to the Cymru Rugby League. I've been up there for the last couple of weeks.
I think hats off to York as well.
Yeah,
I think the improvement you said it before, but you know they weren't even in the fixtures at the start of the season. Yeah. So to take it to the week before, to get some decent crowds, to get some good players signed up for next year, I think there is a resurgence at York. But it's what you'd hope for Barrow and Whitehaven. If there is going to be a resurgence of Cumbrian Rugby League at some stage, there's a really good crowd for this game.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be. I'm sure they will.
Again, you know, only 850 at Whitehaven this week. 1,000 at Barrow. You would hope that, you know, playing each other for a promotion spot.
Yeah.
That maybe there's 2.5. There's no other rugby on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be
2,500, 3,000 people.
Is it at Barrow? Is it at Barrow?
No, it's at Barrow.
It's at Barrow. So yeah, I'm sure they. I'm sure there'll be plenty of numbers there. So well done to both clubs and well done to both coaches.
Steve Roper, drop goal, 105th minute. Apparently the decision to award them a scrum might have been dodgy.
Well, it hit the referee, so they had to get the scrum. The attacking team gets the scrum.
Is that what happened, was it? Right,
it
okay.
is a game of inches and referee's position. So that's Sunday. Good luck to both teams there. Saturday, we've got the Championship Shield, Toulouse versus Sheffield. So I think, you know, about 3 or 4 months ago, we were talking about Toulouse and Catalans being a potential game in Super League next season, and now it's a potential game in the Championship. Toulouse's drop-off in form was marked, but I just looked at the Championship Shield table. They're on points of plus 374. Everyone else is on minus. Mm. I mean, Batley nearly got to zero, but everyone else is minus three figures.
Again, 16 points ahead of the team that they're playing, a little bit like the Super League.
Sense, yeah.
But Sheffield, for the third time, this is again as a part-time club that have had to play at Wakefield this year. They've got some issues about their new ground back in Sheffield. That they went full-time prematurely, it would appear, and have now gone back to being part-time. This is the third time this season they've got to go to Toulouse. It's asking a lot of part-time teams.
I think Bally would have gone there four.
Bally would have gone four,
So, good luck to Sheffield. Obviously, a club who's having to eat hard. They still
got to the Shield final last year, didn't they?
I guess the team doesn't exist anymore. How did that happen?
Their finest hour in the short period they were around.
Sheffield don't think they've got a home yet for next year, have they? Unless they're going to share.
Well, not if they're knocking Bellevue again.
Still like that season.
Can you
still
play three teams out of Dewsbury?
I'll tell you what, as well, just a quickie, fellas, as well. We Warrington, because they're letting many players go, and I was surprised to hear when I read it from the League Express regarding that Kurt Gidley, who retired, or he was retiring, and announced his retirement mid season, and Warrington are desperate to keep him. So what does that tell us?
Who's desperate to keep him at Warrington? Bearing in mind they don't have a coach at the moment.
Well,
have they asked the man who is going to be coach?
But it's saying here he's having trouble finding an adequate replacement. So they're looking at the what? How old is he now? 36, is he?
Mm.
36 years of 36 in next June. So that they're trying to keep him, which I think as well. What's that saying about Warrington?
What does it say about Declan Patton? At what point is he given the shirt and told it's yours?
Yeah, and to say you're the main man and you're the main organiser. Well, he's ready for it now. He's, again, when you know, when I see the young kid in Truman, when I see young Richardson, and I've mentioned it many, many times, in Jordan Elliott and same with Patton, well, let him go out there and give him the responsibility, put the trust in him and let him do the job what they know they can do. That's all I'm asking.
I think the other thing from the English Games point of view is that we've got a World Cup coming here in 2021.
Yeah.
That we really should be thinking, how can we genuinely win that? I mean, if we got to the final in 2017, that would be an achievement. But I don't think, looking at the players that we're seeing going around, probably for the last time in a generation, the Cameron Smiths and the Cooper Cronks, that Billy Slaters, that we're just at a position at the moment where we certainly could beat Australia. But 2021, they will have found some new players to fill those roles. But we've got some kids that we're identifying who are, what, 18, 19, 20 at the moment, playing in key pivotal positions. Should we not be looking at saying to club coaches, for the state of the sport, they need to have more game time?
I agree. And as I say, it's looking here with the Warrington job, three of them, Neil Henry, Dean Pitt and Steve Price, and it's... And it's saying Price is supposed to be the front runner. I'm not sure. How does he play the game? I'm not so sure. Who was he in charge of him?
He was St George, was and then George. He went as an assistant to Cronulla.
Right. Okay.
He was on the pitch a lot when Wigan beat Cronulla.
Right, okay.
And that has snuck back into the game, hasn't it? The return of the Gary Mercer role of coaching on the field. It's like when you see the mini games before for a match at half time, and they have the coaches on the field telling the players where to stand because they don't know because they're only young.
Yep.
But when you get to...
And explaining the rules, you hand over here. Or...
Oh, by the way, I was at Wakefield and Wigan on Saturday. I'm not sure who the team was. A team wearing red and black, could have been Eastmoor, could have been Stanley, could have been many teams. They had a girl wearing 22, scrum cap on, tackled everything that moved. Who knows, she could be a Leeds Rhino. One day.
Well, we saw the launch of the Leeds Rhinos women's Super League team last week, and there is some real traction in the women's game at the moment. I hope they do well in their World Cup. They'll struggle to beat Australia and New Zealand because they have some full-time players. And looking at the ladies of Papua New Guinea, who are beautifully called the Orchids, very raw. That was their first game, but goodness me, they loved the physical side of the game.
Oh, the Papua New Guineans.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy,
I,
oh, boy.
But, but I just think the women's game is something we should be really celebrating at the moment, and that and the wheelchair could be really important for the sport coming up.
And speaking of Leeds, in a sense, Francis Cummings back in the game as well with a job at Widnes. Which
a
is
really
good
man.
Yeah.
Good
rescued
man.
From
it's, rugby. So I know Hodge has gone from there, but it's Francis...
replacing him.
Yeah, yeah, just replacing. So Mick Cassidy's staying as well, is it? Yep. Mick's staying there as well, right? OK, right.
Good to have him back.
Well done to Widnes too. You know, under a bit of pressure. The mate Dennis Betts, under a little bit of pressure. Great performance on Saturday, so yeah. Well done, Widnes.
He never
wavered,
did he, Dennis? The thing about... We talked at the beginning of the show about what might have gone wrong for Catalan, and you worry that the change of coach probably didn't do them any favours. You worry that the coach that they'd brought in might not be able to do what they need to do in this portion of the season. Dennis stayed steadfast throughout everything that was thrown at him this year.
I'm not so sure he would have been behind closed doors, Phil, to be honest.
No, but publicly at least, presumably in front of his players, there was no sense of panic.
Yeah.
He was saying when they were going to Catalan this week that, yeah, it was the biggest high-pressure game, but that his job was to take that feeling away from his players, that he couldn't stop them feeling nervous about it, but try and keep the environment as normal as it could possibly be. I think he just deserves a lot of credit for the way he's handled himself.
Exactly, because what Dennis does, you know, he's a very experienced, you know, from a player's point of view, and what he does, he takes the pressure away from the players, he takes all in himself, and he's making sure there's no extra pressure, you know, obviously there is on the players, but he just takes it all away from them. You know, and I say, I would imagine behind closed doors a little bit different, but I think he's been very, very classy how he's handled these last two or three weeks, because he has been under pressure. There's
absolutely
no two ways about that. So, yeah, well done, Widnes, and well done, Dennis.
Just note, Martin Sander got 12 out of 13 down for his predicted Super League dream team today.
He knows what he's all about, Martin Sadler.
Showing up.
Well, he's Wayfield man, isn't he?
He knows what he's all about, Mr. Sadler.
We'll do the predictions.
Michael Carr might not agree, but anyway, you might not agree, Michael. But
well, Michael Carr's got in touch.
I put out
on Twitter basically saying Chester for the next Leeds Rhinos head coach when Brian McDermott leaves, and Michael Carr has just responded with three laughing emojis, which is what he thought of your opinion, Scott.
Oh, hold on. I haven't said Chris Chester's leaving Wakefield.
I think he knows that it's when McDermott leaves.
Let me just tell you this. Every coach has a certain time at each club. So whether you like it or not, supporters, whether he's doing a good, bad, a different job, whoever coach you've got at your club, there's only a certain lifespan a coach has at a club.
Unless it's Wayne Bennett or Alex Ferguson.
Yeah, but
there are some exceptions to the rule.
But do you know what? Alex Ferguson, because obviously he Man United, but then there wouldn't have been anybody else allowed to get away with what Ferguson did. Quite as if anybody spoke about him, right, you're gone. He didn't have to go to a chairman and say, oh, listen, I don't like this player, can I sell him? No, he ruled the roost. You know, we all know that. Again, that's just great man management. But at the end of the day, Fergie knew, though, even though he worked for 25, 26 years, he knew the time was up. He would have known that he couldn't motivate the players like he used to, maybe lost that aura. To be honest with you,
or even a younger generation coming through didn't appreciate.
Absolutely. So what I'm saying is, it doesn't matter if it's for 6 days or 6 hours, 6 days, 6 weeks, 6 years. A coach only has a certain lifespan before the players get fed up. The coach might get fed up, and he needs a new challenge. Simple as that.
Talking of which, Tony Smith saying that he's not going to be in rugby league for the foreseeable future.
So he's not going to be in the next Wigan coach, as was perhaps floated on yesterday's RL and LY extra time.
Floated by.
Sorry, mate. what did you say?
Tony Smith, the next Wigan coach.
Yes, I heard that yesterday.
See?
I heard that.
So that's going to be quick.
You heard that, or you proposed?
No, I heard that. Yeah, it was brought to my attention. Yes.
So you're acting as the agent for Tony Smith as well as Chris Chester.
As well as Chris Chester, yes.
Well, for sure, the way Tony Smith plays the game, I'll tell you what, I don't think the Wigan fans will be too disappointed. He likes to play the game the right way.
I suspect that he is the man that Catalan should have got for the remainder of this season, who might have got them out of a hole and then see where they go.
Well, do you know what? Them Catalan's players, I don't think it doesn't matter which coach went in there, they have just given up, they've thrown the towel in and saying, I couldn't care less about this jersey, couldn't care less about the club, I'm off, see you later. Simple as that. Them players are an absolute disgrace to that jersey. They are.
I do hope this broadcast is reaching the south of France.
We kind of left it a bit late now, but if the championship has in it next year, Catalans to lose, Toronto and a Cumbrian team. In fact, just forget
London.
If we forget that, Toronto, Toulouse, London, and a Cumbrian team. It is going to be a nightmare.
Yes.
Well, are we prepared for this nightmare?
But extend that into the eights. And let's assume that Toronto, Toulouse, and Catalan are three of the four teams in the eights, yeah, in the qualifiers from the championship. How do you logistically manage that when you won't know the fixtures until a week before?
Well, I'll tell you what, I hope that maybe if Mark Wells is listening, the expense account is pretty good here at Radio York. Shall we start covering it?
Well, because I'm watching Premier Sport in the studio pretending we're in Toronto.
I'm not worried about how far it is. We'll enjoy the business class when we're flying around, Rich, won't we?
It's also safe to say that there will be an application from another Canadian-based team coming up within the next 3 or 4 months. Mm. And also there are at least two bidders who are looking to take a team to New York.
Lovely. And do you know what? I'm sending my CV into Nigel Wood. I just want to be a football director, like Brian Noble does at Toronto. I'll be the football manager, without a shadow of a doubt. I will. Sending my CV in.
It doesn't like expansion unless he can get a job in New York.
I didn't say I didn't like expansion.
I think you have done on several occasions.
Yeah. Small eyebrow raise, said enough there, Scott.
as we head towards...
And do you know what the pre-match meal will be?
Don't say it.
Beans on toast. Beans
not
on
peas.
Toast.
Do they have peas in Canada? We're into the final couple of minutes of the program, which means it's time to do the extremely short this week predictions. Not as short as it will be next week. but we start with the Thursday night live on Radio Yorkshire, 7:45 kickoff. We're on the air at 7 for the Castleford Tigers versus St Helens.
Yeah, whether Luke Gill plays or not, I feel as well that Castleford, the way they're playing, they're ready for this. As Phil Kaplan's mentioned, they've been ready for this for the last 4 weeks. They will have too much class for St Helens. As I said earlier, Castleford by 10.
The only thing that I think could possibly derail Castleford would be if St Helens scored early, maybe got a 10-0 lead. That's a different dynamic. No matter how good you are, it's a different sort of pressure, but I don't think we'll get to that. I think Cass will win.
Tom, you finish high on the prediction competition.
I'm currently 10th. I'm 1 point above you, Gary.
I'm not having that.
I am, I'm sorry.
Hold on, three weeks ago, I was fifth.
Well, you're not anymore.
I'm 10 points above
you. You've
yourself,
had a shocker in the eight.
I think Castleford, roughly by 7, I think a drop goal might also help decide it.
But will it be Luke Gayle dropping the goal?
I mean, I can't imagine anyone else doing it. Maybe
Grant Millington.
Maybe Grant, exactly. Yeah.
Cast by... 8. Friday, Leeds Rhinos versus Hull FC, the Gary Schofield derby.
Leeds are looking for revenge, certainly after what happened with the Challenge Cup. As Phil Kaplan has mentioned, gone under the radar. Yes, two of my clubs, and as I say, I wish I wasn't playing each other, but they are. But I've got to stick to the one I support, and that's Leeds. I'm going Leeds by 10.
The thing I like about Leeds at the moment is their defence. I think that is what gets you to trophies. They've looked very, very solid over the last 2 weeks. Even though they have played the two lowest-ranked teams. I'm just going to a sneaky one for Leeds as well. I think it'll be an all-West Yorkshire grand final and it will be declared a public holiday.
You have to be quick.
I'm going Leeds by 2.
Leeds by 2. Hull by 4. One-word answer.
Rich, oh, go on.
Lee or Catalans?
I'm just going to say it. Lee will batter Catalans by 30
one
points.
One-word answer. This doesn't follow instruction.
Lee.
Catalan.
Draw. Right, we're back. Thursday, Cass Saints. Friday, Leeds Hull. And back here next Monday to talk more rugby league on Radio Yorkshire.